I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Terry is a little pingy.
I was just gonna say.
Seems like you can maybe bring it down to an 8, maybe. That was a lot. That was intense.
They had lots of coffee. It's the cheerleaders. Oh my gosh, it's still going. And I'm going in the background there.
I don't know that one. That must have been like a. Well, obviously that was a cold open. I don't remember that one.
Yeah. Well, I think there was one right before that too. It was like a 2-cheer start, but. I didn't want to have like a 3-minute intro, but one Valdez, say what? I love it.
Oh yeah, I don't know that. I know that like you ain't got no alibi. You ugly, you ugly. Woo!
That was also in, I believe, Hoosiers, maybe. Goldie Hawn. Am I thinking of the right one? Okay. Anyway,
we're or maybe Bring It On.
See, it's that 3-year age gap. We're talking about Saturday Night Live, like our favorite. Best of sketches.
Yeah.
And also
we're gonna have a lot of different things here because you never think anything's funny.
False.
Or you don't get comedy is what I mean.
We're in a fight.
You don't understand
we're fighting.
Comedy or...
We're in a fight. It's that 3-year age gap. I promise.
You don't understand humor.
Guys.
Wit. Jokes in general.
You know what? Head on over and leave us a review and let us know what you guys think.
We haven't gotten a review, good or bad, in a while. So, which is
neutral's fine.
Which is just fine. Yeah,
exactly. So. And also on top of all our SNL sketches that we're going to be talking about, we are going to talk about the latest Teen Mom, OG, and Young and Pregnant.
Yes.
So settle in.
Back. It's on again tonight, and so is Bachelor in Paradise. Tuesday.
Tuesday. Gonna say our stories are coming on Tuesday. It's our stories,
and I'm Mountain Time now. So, and Bachelor in Paradise is on ABC, so I know I have that channel.
Okay, but you don't.
So I can actually watch
have...
that live.
What
I don't have like anything Bravo related. Like I had to wait like a peasant to watch Housewives of Salt Lake City until yesterday morning.
What about MTV?
The day after, I don't know if they have MTV. No, I don't. I doubt they do. They have like much music.
Much music?
But,
oh.
Yeah, it's much music.
Oh, wow.
But I think I can on my computer. Can't you watch live on the MTV app?
Possibly.
But I don't have
streaming.
But I don't have a cable company anymore.
Mm. Well, you have to ask our resident Canadian friend, Justine, and see how she does it.
Yeah, no, she's given me some tips.
All right.
I can't have any more subscriptions, though. Fucking Christ.
I know. Everything is just separate and piecemeal now. It's got to go back to the old cable days where it's all just in one place.
Something smells weird.
Oh, what's Daphne making for supper tonight?
I don't know. She's like...
I mean, it's in 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's coming up. I don't know. She seems annoyed with me.
Oh, no.
She booked me in a... Oh yeah, getting an appointment to get my car looked at because my brakes were squeaking.
Okay,
for 8 o'clock this morning, like the second they opened, and I'm like, oh my god, So I wake up and it's 7:10 and she's already dressed. Her hair is done. Makeup is on, like jacket on, 7:10. And this place, I've already looked it up. It's 15 minutes away with traffic. I'm like, I'm going to make breakfast. And she's like, well, I mean, okay. But I mean, I just think with traffic, I'm like, I already looked. I will be leaving the house at 7:45 because it opens at 8 and it takes 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah. So, and I'm just like in a bitchy mood because I'm like, I just need, and then like I'm eating, making my breakfast. Ron's in there derping around, taking out the garbage next to me. I'm like, does this need to be done right now? Mm. Whatever. So I follow my mom to the mechanic and I was just in like a not great mood because I had just woke up and this guy, this is like her personal mechanic. He's like, so what made you go to New York?
Oh, here we go.
I'm like, I don't want to fucking tell you all this. I'm like, I don't know. 20 years, yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, what's the weather like? Oh, I'm like, can you just look at my car and let me fucking leave?
It is truly Colton. So, what part of North Carolina do you come from? What's weather like over there?
Look, dude, I'm like, I'm very, very nice, but I'm already annoyed. I'm like, my mom is standing right next to me answering questions for me. So, at one point, I just, like, give her, like, a look. And then she's like, oh, okay, well, never mind then. And then she starts, like, walking around the store. Mm. And then Deanna, he's like, okay, you know, I'll give you a call later. And then my mom is like, well, why don't you, that's her New York number, you know, so maybe you should call my phone. And I was like, no, please call my phone. And then her and him had, like, a look with each other because I was kind of bitchy.
He's going to call both numbers.
No, he called me. He called me. But I was like, no, please call my number. Because it's my car.
Yeah. Oh, and I hear some dishes being stacked up there, I think. She hears you.
This all has to happen right now. This needs to happen right now. So, yeah, that's the stuff.
You're not the only busy one, Amanda.
Just like, to do. Do you understand, like, why that's annoying? Where it's like,
oh,
no,
I do.
Why don't you call my phone? Because I'm like, can you call my phone, please? Because it's my car.
Yeah.
It's my car. Can I have control over this, at least?
She hasn't had you under her roof in so long.
It's really testing.
It's difficult.
It's really, really testing.
And just in case you are not caught up to speed or you don't listen to any of our 32 podcasts a week over on Patreon, links are in the mm-hmm. show notes, Amanda has moved back home to Canada. And she's living with her mom for another 3 weeks until your apartment is ready
until
to go.
October 1st, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So tensions are a little high as an adult moving back home with a parent.
I'm doing my mm-hmm. best, but it's just a lot of just control. Like, I have no control over my life right now, like, at all.
Yeah.
And so I'm working really hard to just, like, maintain my composure and my patience.
Yeah. I totally understand it. I get it.
Right?
I was in a dark place that month we lived with my mom.
And like,
it was rough.
The look I gave her was very bitchy, but it's like, he's like, so are you living in Calgary now? Like for a little bit or for, and she like runs up. She's like, oh no, she's here permanently. I'm like,
I'm an adult. I can answer questions. Yeah. Oh boy.
Oh. But then I feel immediately terrible afterward.
I feel like I can name the type of plates that she has. Is that like a Carell dinner plate being stacked?
I think they're porcelain plates.
Oh, okay. It sounded like almost like a melamine sort of material.
Nope, but whatever's happening is happening right now.
Well, Amanda, supper's at 4 p.m. She's got to start early.
And like the basement door is now open because Walter let himself out, so now the door's a little ajar, but it's fine.
So we might have some special guests. Well, this is a perfect time to bring on the laughs here. So I kind of sort of went in chronological order. It just so happened.
Oh, I didn't. Because if you go on like an SNL, this is one of my favorite, like, YouTube has SNL algorithm pretty well thought out. Like, if you watch one video, then the recommended videos after that will usually, like,
make sense.
It's a good algorithm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. The door is now closed. I was being very loud, Amanda. The neighbors can hear you through the wall. You can tone down the laughter.
This is so good.
Oh, God. anyone who like has to live with their parents for a few weeks, like you all understand.
It's not meant to be that way. No, I mean, I understand people have to live with their parents for various reasons. Do not get me wrong, but it is very difficult for both parties. Once you're an adult, yeah, it's completely different.
And I'm like making my eggs, and like it's been everyone, all the fucking.
I love this egg drama. This is your daily drama. It's about you making your eggs.
Give me my 30 minutes to prepare my omelet, sit at the table alone, and eat it while like watching TikTok or something. But just. Never. It never can happen unless I get up at 6:30 in the morning. So I'm like making my eggs. And again, it's been known to everyone on earth that like if I'm in the kitchen cooking, I will be out of there in 5 minutes. Just please let me have that time. Like, please do not get in my fucking space. So it's 7:10 and I'm like making my eggs. I'm so fucking like tired. And then she's like shoving like freaking Amazon or Facebook Marketplace, like, this guy's selling a couch, Manda, online, and he can deliver it. And I was like, that's really nice of you to look like to tell me that right now, but yeah, like, can you wait for another time? But then I see this list that she has that's like sitting on the coffee table that she's just been writing down, like, anytime it's I growing. Mention something in passing, she's like written down like what she needs to buy me. So I'm like, I see this stuff and I'm like, God, I'm such a bitch. But then in the moment, I'm like, can you just please,
yeah,
please let me maintain my life.
Because it feels all consuming. You can't get away from it. You can't take a break.
And currently I can tell that she's like pissed off. Or she's like, she's kind of being like martyr-y right now. I'm like, oh no. Okay, well, I'm just going to be upstairs then.
Can you just go for a drive, a long, long drive, and just sit somewhere in a parking lot? Well, and
I couldn't today because my car is
trapped. Oh, God, you're trapped. Is there a bicycle? I'm trapped. Can you go for a bike ride?
I can walk Walter, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway.
All right, let's get into it. Let's make you laugh. All right, why don't you lead us off here?
All right. See, now I have a favorite. I have a complete favorite SNL sketch.
Okay.
But I don't know how jarring this is going to be for anyone. So I don't know if I should end with it or just get it out of the way now and then be like, okay, that is my, and it's, this is my favorite. I'll just say it now so that everyone can get over it. Get over it. Okay. I used to watch this in college with like all of my best friends. Like all of, we just all would smoke every night. Like me, Brad, my friend Ricky, Joan Moan.
Oh, yeah.
And we would just, and it's like, this was our favorite sketch. I think we must have watched it like live the first time it aired. Okay. And this is before we knew what a monster this person was, I think. And it's been wiped from the internet because this person hates this sketch, but there are a couple of sites you can find it on and I really recommend you look for it. And it's a Donald Trump sketch.
Oh,
okay.
No.
It's from like the early 2000s. It's called Donald Trump's House of Wings.
Mm-hmm.
And he's pretty charming in it. Like, he's in on the joke. Like, this was back when he had a little bit of sense of humor about himself, I think. And the cast said that this was like Maya Rudolph, Seth Meyers, Amy Poehler. Like, this is that cast. And they're like, he's great. Like, he was really nice. He was funny. He was willing to like do anything.
I hear you.
But it's the stupidest sketch, but it's like, it's him being, it's just a big commercial. And he's like, come on down to Donald Trump's House of Wings. And every like couple seconds, these four people dressed as chickens, Maya Rudolph, Amy Poehler, Seth Meyers, and there's another, and Keenan. And they're just wearing these full chicken costumes and they're just like singing in front of him, like, you know, these wings will make you happy, Trumpin. You know, these wings will heat you up, Trump. If you want blue cheese, it'll be $1 extra. Donald Trump's House of Wings. And then they like exit and then he does another little thingy and then they all like come in sideways again and just do that. And if you just watch it and watch, especially Amy Poehler and Maya Rudolph in the front, because they are committing to being these singing chickens like you've never seen ever.
Okay.
I promise you, it is funny.
My favorite part about that
was, and it makes me like Donald Trump a bit. What's your favorite part about that?
Was you just singing. That sounded really good.
Oh. Did it?
Yes. Of course. You have a beautiful voice. Hello. You know this.
I submitted to that guy last night. Did you listen to it?
Oh, no. You put it up in the Dropbox, but I haven't made it in there.
Dropbox. There's a on the Doughboys like Facebook page, some musician was like, I'm submitting a drop, but I need a female vocalist who can harmonize really quickly because I want to submit this within the next couple hours. So he sent me the track, and I listened to it, and I threw down, I laid down my track, and I mixed it because he doesn't know how to use GarageBand, and I sent it in, and it's a 15-second little
thing.
Oh,
I can't wait.
Like when I came upstairs, my mom was like, "It's really nice to hear you singing again," and I was like, But she's like, "Oh, it's been a really long time since I've heard Amanda singing in the house."
Is that a little diss?
That's kind of nice.
You've been really mean and grumpy lately. You sounded happy when you did that.
It's pretty loud, though. It's pretty loud. Yeah. It's after 8 p.m.
Yeah.
I think that might be more.
Okay.
But anyway, well, I'll keep everyone updated on that.
I'm going to knock out the first four because it's old school. They're old school, but these are my first memories of SNL was Rosanna Dana. Gilda Radner, Steve Martin doing King Tut. Like my parents,
that is not funny.
My parents,
there's nothing funny about
it. My parents loved it, but to me, it stands out as a favorite because I have a visceral memory of like where I was standing in the family room watching it late at night, and it was like, oh my god, like this is comedy. This must be really funny,
right? And I'm not even arguing. It sounds like I'm yelling at you. Like it's not even funny, but it's me yelling at just the general population for I've never been able to understand why people find that sketch funny because it's not funny.
Yeah, or like the two wild and what's crazy funny about guys. It? Oh, my dad loved that sketch.
I like that sketch. Like the original, they brought them back recently to do like this dating show, and they had like the Dick in a Box guys. And then they had them, and then they had, like, another duo. And it was quite... And Dan Aykroyd is just so big and, like, fat
I do remember
now,
that,
and, like, and it's really awkward. Yeah. And it's, like, he doesn't have control of his body the same way he used to. So he... Even, like, the little pointy, jabby things, it's just... It's
different.
Like, oh, it's cringe. Yeah.
Okay, The Church Lady. Another classic.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the Sweeney sisters, specifically the episode with the like the Bells Medley, I think they call it.
Bridge Over Troubled Water?
No, it's a Bells Medley. They were doing a Christmas episode and they were like, ding, ding, ding goes the trolley. Ring, ring, ring goes the bells. Bells, ding, dong. Here goes the bells. There goes the bells. It was just so good.
Aww.
And my friend in elementary school... Again, she grew up to be really funny too. We would tag team it. That's so cool. We were doing the Sweeney sisters in elementary school.
No, me and my best friend growing up, Stephanie, her and I used to act out the Santa and Jesus medley from the South Park like sing along Christmas.
The 3 year age gap. Episode. Okay.
But okay, so like okay, what was your I keep hitting my mic, I'm sorry. What was your cast? Like, if you were
You've
to pick, like,
asked this
a cast
to
that, like,
me
this
before,
is...
but I can't. I can't because it truly is all over the board. Like, my next couple sketches that I have clips of, I wonder if you even know them because I feel like they were so
I don't know
funny.
If you understand how obsessed I am with... I'm really obsessed with Saturday Night Live. I own every... Like, I own Jay Moore's audiobook. I own Chris Kattan's audiobook. I own Live from New York. It's Saturday Night, which is, like, a 10-hour book. I own the Chris Farley show.
Then,
like, I'm obsessed with it.
If I had to...
All years of it.
I mean, I'm going to go, like, the Amy Poehler, Maya Rudolph...
I agree.
Fallon. Who else am I missing here? I'm going to my... I gotta go back.
Well, if you're going with that cast, like the original of that is like Molly Shannon, Sherry O'Terry, Anna Gasteyer,
Will Ferrell,
Chris Kattan,
right,
Daryl Hammond.
I think just because
who seemed not the funnest to work with either.
No, he's
Daryl
a real
Hammond
depressive
Hammond seems like a little bit of curmudgeon. Yeah, have you seen his documentary?
Yes, it's dark.
It's good
it
though.
Is, but
it's
let's
interesting.
Not even go there.
It is
dark.
It is dark. Yeah.
Okay, so let's just go into what was your cast? I'm guessing the same.
Well. Okay, so we had a video store across the street from my house, and I remember going in there, and I kept renting these. It was like the best of SNL. There's three different videotapes. One was from 1975. One was from, it was like two episodes, and it was like Tom Hanks was hosting. And then there was a, there was another one with it was Tom Hanks and Aerosmith. It was just three videotapes with two episodes each. And one was the 1975, one was the 90s, and another one was, I think, the 90s. And I kept renting it out, and finally, the video store guy was like, you're the only one that ever rents this out. Do you just want to buy them for, like, $3? So, like, I owned these things, and I would watch these things on a loop. It had, like, it had Andy Kaufman on it doing the Mighty Mouse thing in the 1975 one. So... And then it had Judy Miller, that sketch, which is, like, I think one of the best sketches ever made. So my view of SNL is a little convoluted because I was going off of, like, these three videotapes. Okay. Then I started watching it, like, on the regular when that Will Ferrell cast started.
Yeah.
I remember, like, the very first, when they finally changed over all the cast, and that one started, and it was just, like, lightning in a bottle.
Yep.
But now I'd even say I kind of fell off the wagon during Kristen Wiig's cast, even though now I've caught up on all that.
Yeah.
But I've been watching it religiously for, like, the past, I don't know, 8 years, probably solidly, like, all of this current cast, all of Kate McKinnon, all that stuff.
Right. Yeah. Same. I normally watch them Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And then I call the kids into the funny ones because I got to know, like, what funny is. It's not this Disney Channel, whatever the hell is on that. That's not funny. That's not comedy.
And, I mean, everyone, this cast isn't funny. Yeah, this cast is really funny. All these people are funny people. They are. But, you know, some of this, there's always a couple really, really good sketches, and the rest of them are a little forgettable, but, like, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But the good ones, what do they say? It hits different.
It slaps.
Slaps. It's cap. Yo, you don't want to yeet it. Yikes. Okay, well, I just gave you a bunch. So what's your next one?
Let's see here. I'm just going to go, like, just in order. I don't have this in any kind of order here. But, okay, I'm going to do a couple older episodes, like, classics from, like, the late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay.
And, I don't know if you know this one, but this happened to be one that I had taped off of TV, so I just watched it all the time. But it's where Gwyneth Paltrow was hosting, and she did, like, a really, really good job. And there's a superstar sketch in there that she's really funny in. Like, Gwyneth is funny in it. So that's my favorite superstar. They're in, like, the women's bathroom, and Molly Shannon.
Mary Catherine,
like,
Gallagher.
Mary Catherine Gallagher.
Okay, classic. Add that on my list.
And then there's this sketch. There's a sketch called Jingleheimer Junction. Where
I recall,
wait, who's the Tim Meadows is, like, Jingleheimer Joe, and all the friends come out. There's, like, you know, like, all the gaggle of cast, and they're all wearing different letters on their shirts, like Horatio, they all have, like, kindness, Kim kindness, and then they have a new friend that's Will Ferrell, and I forget what letter he is, but when they stand in a certain line, it spells out, I think, fuck or something like that, with, like, an exclamation. Or it spells out...
Are they going to do, like, happiness, but it just says, like, penis or something like that?
No, it's, like, one word. It's I think it's fuck.
Or cock? I think it was cock. Boobs.
No, I'm pretty sure it's fuck. Because the audience gets it before...
Right.
Will Ferrell comes out.
Will.
But it's... And they're constant. They're singing these songs and, like, moving into different... Into
formations,
different formations,
right.
And then it's fine. But then they're like, okay, roll call. And then they keep having to cut to, like, like, give us a moment while we fix this.
Right.
So it's called Jingleheimer Junction. It's a smart sketch, and Tim Meadows was very funny in it, and Gwyneth is actually really funny in it, too.
Oh, I just thought of this one. Will Ferrell, there's just something about his face that is funny. He just has a funny face.
Yeah.
Like, the
Which
sketch...
Which is weird, too, because he has kind of a... He kind of just has an everyday man face.
Sure.
But there's something about him that is just so funny.
He can make just a dumb, plain, boo face just look blank and funny and clueless. Like, when the one sketch... Again, I didn't write this down, but I'm thinking of it now. Where he's in the Star Spangled Boxers. And he's like,
that's what I was just thinking. And you can see his appendix scar.
Aww.
I always notice that you can see his appendix scar.
He's like, I thought we were dressing patriotic. And he's putting his package, his privacies right in his coworker's face. Okay, so here's another throwback. Do you know Subliminal Man with Kevin Nealon?
Yes.
Okay.
But I only know that from, like, watching, you know how, like, they have, like, SNL, like, 40 and SNL... like every 25 years or so, they'll do like a big special and they'll put together like a whole clip reel. That's how I know that. Cause I also taped one of those off of TV and I just watched it on a loop.
That was a family favorite. I remember we'd all be like, oh my God, it's Weekend Update. Yeah. He's doing Subliminal Man. Okay. So I have,
so wholesome.
I have a little sketch recorded here for those of you who don't know it, because it's really good. And boy, I mean, you brought up Donald Trump before, so just get ready for this one.
What's making headlines? Donald and Ivana Trump breeding pigs. I mean, what's the big deal? The Trumps are just two normal people with normal problems. Therapy. Donald's a confused man who should evoke our sympathy and understanding. Cheating bastard. And Ivana, a very sweet and unfortunately heartbroken woman, had it coming to her, who was misled into signing an obviously unfair prenuptial agreement. Sucker. And caught up in all of this in the middle is a sweet, innocent country girl named Marla Maples, homewrecker, who never had a chance to defend herself before the press. Guilty. And who cares? Who cares where she's hiding out, Atlantic City? Personally, you know, I just don't understand the fascination with her. Breasts. I mean, Germany.
Come on. Breasts. That's funny. Oh, we'd laugh and
all
laugh.
Right, I found this.
Okay.
Join me at Donald Trump's House of Wings.
Oh, I know it.
You know our wings, we'll make you happy. Cooking, you know our wings, we'll fill you up. So if you want the place, we love the chicken wings, yeah. Donald Trump's House of Wings.
It's the nuance of Amy and Maya in the front, like, whenever they, like, back out of the shot, like, like they're just, I mean, they're leaning into
Maya
it.
Maya is so good.
And Donald Trump is funny in it, too. All right. So, yeah, Maya. Oh, speaking of Maya, let me give this one, then. Maya Rudolph. She was, like, she's in that kind of weird gray area, like, between the Will Ferrell and between, like, the Kristen Wiig kind of cast. But this one is... Well, I think she's so good at Beyonce. That
you
Beyonce
love that.
Hot Ones.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's so funny. She's like, ooh, this is not a good look for Beyonce. Y'all got me drinking milk on camera now. She's so fucking funny. But, I love her as, there's a Christmas special too, where she's playing the June is busting out all over that Leslie Uggams, and she's like, and a pot of beret.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like handing out gifts to kids. And that's my favorite nuance of that is she's doing a kickball change, but she's saying pot of beret. She's not pot of beret. And a pot of beret and a pot of beret. Okay, but... All right. This one I think is if you want like anything to show you how fucking funny Maya is, and like how I could never do this because clearly the director was like, just go, go for like 5 minutes. And it's when she's doing the national anthem. You know this? Let's go to the end of the stanza.
Let's play.
And then every so often it just cuts over to Bill Hader and Jason Sudeikis like staring into the camera like,
what is this?
But it's so fucking true.
All right, you know what? I'm going to I'm going to piggyback right off of you there. And
awesome.
This is another Maya Rudolph with Amy Poehler. And this is where they are playing Betty and Jody.
Price is Right.
No, Betty and Jody, the talk show Bronx Beat. And in this particular one, they had Jake Gyllenhaal, who came on, and he's just written a book about, I don't know, like hiking or something like that. And, okay, little clip for you.
Let me ask you something. Frankie married?
Well, I have a girlfriend.
Why haven't you asked your girlfriend to marry you? You know what? Don't get married. Okay. Listen to us. Don't get married. The minute you get married, your life is over.
She is right. You know what? My husband, I want to kill him.
I want to strangle him while he's asleep. I want to kill him. You know what? I love him. He's the love of my life.
Here we go with a lot of words.
I gave him my two daughters. What am I going to do?
So emotional these days.
It's true. I can't help it. He gave me my two daughters. I would die without.
I just love it. What am I going to do? And that's the same clip where they're like, oh, yeah, what nationality are you? Are you Sioux? You Sioux? You Cherokee? You Sioux? A little bit of Sioux. I don't know if you remember that at all, but it was just so good. They play off each other so well. Genius.
And then Maya, and the one that I thought you were talking about, do you know what I'm talking about? The Price is Right one? It's not Price is Right, but it's where they're like, they can't stop laughing, and Bill Hader, Kristen Wiig is driving in that little golf cart, and she's like crashing into everything, and they can't stop laughing.
Oh, or they just broke. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, and like any time where Bill Hader laughs is...
Although you hate Stefan. You don't like Stefan.
I don't like... I could do without Stefan. I don't hate him,
well, the whole thing that makes Stefan funny is that he cracks every single time. He can't stick in character. That's what
makes it funny. Yeah, I know, and that's why I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Because the thing is John Mulaney would change the jokes without... But I'm like, okay, none of these are that funny.
Yeah.
Where he's like, he has to cover his face, you know? And like, I think they kind of started to do that with the Debbie Downer sketches a little later on, where they're like, well, this is funny because we all broke. And you can't really...
You can't do it every time. That's a big mistake guests make, is that they think like, oh, okay, I'm just going to start laughing and then the audience is going to laugh because I broke character. It's like, no, you can't do that. It's only funny when the stars do it because they never do it.
Which is why that sketch with Kate McKinnon and Cecily and then, like, whoever the guest is, where they've, like, all been abducted by aliens, and Kate makes, like, the celebrity guest laugh every time. I'd be like, I'm not... Well, I would laugh, because I'm the most unprofessional person ever, but, like, it just seems a little forced.
I agree. All right, you got another one? Because I got a whole bunch.
I have 3 million of them. Okay, so I said Jingleheimer Junction. Okay, here's one of my very, very favorite sketches. I watched them, like, there's, I think, four or five of them. There's four. I watch them probably once a month, just all back to back. And I would, you know how, like, there's some that are just templates and you can feel the jokes coming? But this one, they could do this every single episode, and I think they could find funny stuff to do with it, especially if Bo and Yang jumped on and started writing for it. But it's the high school drama talent show.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Love it.
Oh, God, it's so funny. And then it's usually Vanessa Bayer and Keenan in the audience being like, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. Like, someone be like, excuse me, ma'am, do you like, how would you like to be an orca? Do you like SeaWorld or something like that? And she's like, yes, it's fine. Oh, how would you like to be an orca being jacked off for your sperm? And she's like, what the hell? And then it cuts to her and she goes, that was the worst moment of my entire life. And I've said this one before, but this is my favorite joke, and it's with Emma Stone. I mean, all of their jokes are just that they're stacking all these boxes, the black boxes, which is, I mean, were you in drama? I mean, do you understand that reference, that just this is what you work with in a drama showcase, is a bunch of black boxes that you stack in different ways? So real. And they stack them for no reasons, and they'll be like, they're pretending to speak Mandarin. They'll be like, excuse me, ma'am, do you know what I was saying? No. Is that because you only speak English and I was speaking Mandarin? She's like, yes. And they go, wow. My favorite joke is when they're like, okay, well, we've actually just been taking improv classes, so we're going to get, and then they did like the clappy things, like, all right, here we go. Let's get a suggestion from the audience. And Keenan's like, basketball. So then they like get into their formations, and what's this? Kyle Mooney comes in and he's like, hey, mom. And Emma Stone's like, hey. And he's like, I just wanted you to know that I'm gay. And she goes, well, that's wonderful. I accept you for who you are. And he goes, good, mom. That's important for me to know. By the way, what's for dinner? And Emma Stone goes, basketball.
And like the lights go black, right? And then it's like, boom, next
scene. And they do all these like jazzy like theater hands as they walk around changing boxes. Guys, look it up. At high school drama, especially if you've been in drama. I mean... And all the adults in the audience
cringing.
Are like, I paid $1,000 for that improv class.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to piggyback off so you here. Point. Speaking of Vanessa Bayer, this could be on every single week. Although, wait, is she still on it?
Is it Miley Cyrus?
Oh, no, not Miley Cyrus. That is a good one.
but I do love
it. I'm just
going
to play it.
She's one of the ones that everyone says is the hardest to break. She never
breaks
so character,
good.
Like, ever, ever.
Okay,
ever.
I know this is also one of your favorites, because you and I reference this character that she does all the time, and not many people get it because it's an underrated sketch. Okay.
The reason we observe the Sabbath dates back to when God created the world in 7 days. On the first day, God said, let there be light. And on the second day, he said, let there be Derek Jeter and the New York Yankees.
So you really like the Yankees, huh, Jacob?
On the third to 6 days, God created many more things, such as the sun, the moon, the fish and the birds, land animals, and finally, humans, which may or may not include my brother, Ethan.
Okay. So this is Jacob.
She's so cute.
This is Jacob the bar mitzvah boy. And the whole thing is that Jacob the bar mitzvah boy comes in with this stand-up sketch, basically. And Seth Meyers is always like, oh, hey, so Jacob, that was really cool. Like, we could just talk man-to-man, you know? And he's so awkward and is like, no, I gotta stick to it. He just, and just continues with the skit. It's so funny.
She has another great, I'm trying to find it now, but I don't know like what exact words to put on here, but it's where she's on, it's a Weekend Update character where she's like a child reporter. Mm-hmm. And she talks about things that are way too old for her. She'd be like, Harvey Weinstein. And then he jerked off into a blonde. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. I can see her character. She's so good.
And speaking of child correspondence, I also love A.D. Bryant on Weekend Update, where she's like talking about like all like the places that she loves to travel. She goes, and Michael.
Oh, yeah. Michael.
Michael.
She's so adorable.
I saw my uncle in his underpants. It's just very.
Hey, you know what?
I love 80s. So.
I just wanted to tell you something that I feel like you just need to hear. Okay.
Uh-huh. I'm going to do a terrific show today, and I'm going to help people because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Al Franken, who knew? Right?
You know who doesn't like him? Jay Moore.
I was going to say the entire Republican Party?
Yeah, everyone.
Donald Trump's chicken house or whatever? Right.
I don't think Democrats like him that much either after those boob grabbing pictures.
Yeah, that was another one. When Rosie O'Donnell hosted, she played Lorena Bobbitt. And Lorena Bobbitt.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that.
Okay, write that down. You're going to have to Google that. Lorena Bobbitt and Stuart Smalley. That's another great one.
Okay. Yeah, that was kind of a dark spot for me in SNL. Because I wasn't watching it live with, like, Mike Myers, Chris Farley. I just know all those sketches just from lore.
Okay.
And how sad is it now when, like, you look up a YouTube SNL thing and it'll say vintage. SNL Vintage and it was from, like, 2012.
I know. I'm like, oh, still kind of current.
Vintage is Gilda Radner.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's see. Let's talk about John Mulaney for a second here. Now, he's not getting a lot of great press right now.
No.
Which makes me so sad because I really love him.
I used to.
Really? He didn't do anything. It's okay. He did what everyone does. They cheat on their wife. They, you know, they do stupid shit. But this is John Mulaney, and I think we've held him up to, like, kind of an impossible standard. So I think that might be a little part of this is like, if this had been a different comic, we'd be like, well, yeah.
You know why?
But John Mulaney,
because
for some
he's
reason,
got a little kid face. He looks like a little boy.
But he knows that.
Well, oh,
he
I know.
Does.
He acknowledges
he has, like,
it. And just the fact that he looks like a little boy, he reminds you of a kid. So you subconsciously
like,
imply.
You can picture in your head exactly what he looked like.
Yeah, you're projecting, this innocence on him. Like, he's just like a good kid. He's self-deprecating. He wouldn't do that. And then you realize like, he's actually a grown man with a penis and hormones, you know, and problems.
And he was sober, but like a lot of people, they relapse and people have to forgive him.
Yeah, but Olivia Munn.
And like, did you watch...
I've never liked her.
Yeah, well,
I've never gotten the appeal.
But, like, I couldn't pick her out of a lineup of five people.
Yeah, well, I think that's
people. I couldn't pick her out of a
list. That's why she's with John.
She was standing
Mulaney
next
now.
To like Megan Fox. I'd be like, I don't know which one is which.
Sure,
so Megan Fox looks more bitchy. Did you see his interview with Seth
no.
Meyers this
no.
week? Okay, I watched it. It's good. It's a good interview. They're very honest and raw. He has him on for like a whole 15-minute segment, and they talk about the fact that Seth Meyers like planned a whole intervention like for him, and they talked about the intervention and how like John Mulaney was a total dick at the intervention, and Seth Meyers said that the interventionist, like, it was all comics, right? It was like all just like famous comics, and they were like, you have to resist the urge to be funny. You are not allowed to make jokes. And Seth Meyers was like, it was just the weirdest room to be in, because all of us indication yeah. always instinct is to be funny. And they both said, like, you know, when Fred Armisen isn't doing a bit, then you know that it's serious. Ooh. He's like, John Mulaney's like, he was looking me directly in my eyes and saying, I am concerned for my friend. He's like, and there was no bit, no smiling, no laughing. He's like, it was pretty raw.
That would be weird, because the more serious he would be, the funnier I think it would get, right? Because you're just not used to seeing him, and he just has that great character face. Fred Armisen is amazing. Right.
But so John Mulaney was a writer on the show. He was mostly Bill Hader's like writing partner. Okay. Like they partnered up. I think they shared an office. There's a really good SNL documentary that what's his face? James Franco like did like as part of his like NYU Ugh. Class. Remember when he was enrolling in like soap operas and NYU
I think he's
classes
got
and
a,
you know pottery
I
classes.
Think he's got a PhD or something from NYU, which is just ugh.
But he did this for like his film class, but and so he got to like go in, and it was where John Malkovich was hosting that week, and they just let him into the offices, and like you got to watch it, like he just filmed them like writing the sketches, mm-hmm. like John Mulaney, and then them going to like the music producer and her like just
yeah.
throwing something together. It's like a really, really cool documentary. It's on YouTube. You can easily find it. And James Franco isn't really part of
Thank
it,
God.
So you don't really need to worry about that. There's some pretty uncomfortable parts, though, where, like, they're doing the table read, and, oh, what's her face that's on Happy Ending?
Casey Wilson?
Or she went, yeah, Casey Wilson. She did not have a great time on SNL, and, like, they just show it unrelentlessly of her and her, like, scene partner bombing. Like, and they're reading the whole sketch, and they have, like, a singing thing where they're singing from Chicago, they're singing all that, and it's just bombing, and then afterward they interview her, and she's like, no, it was I don't know what to say, that was awful, that was really embarrassing.
Yeah.
I could tell I was bombing with, and we had to finish the sketch. No one laughed. It was awful. It's
really I mean, I definitely am not SNL material. I am not that funny, but I don't think Casey Wilson's that funny, and the singing stuff.
I actually don't either. Nick does. Really? Yeah. If I was on SNL, I don't think I'd ever sing. Like, or if I was, I wouldn't, it would be like a parody of singing. I would never want to
take yourself serious
enough. Let's throw something in where I just happen to sing, so everyone knows that I have like a good voice. But anyway, so John Mulaney, so he was a writer forever. Like, everyone loved him. And then he came back and he famously hosted a few times in the past few years. And those are some of my favorite.
Sure. Songs. I get it.
Do you remember?
Yeah, I do.
Where he's, like, the drag brunch.
Right.
He, like, roasts all three people at the table. And then when it comes to Alex Moffat, he's like, you're a miserable man that's never said anything funny in his life. And you're going to die. And, no- and by the end, it turns out that, like, he knew that he was going to come to this brunch. So he, like, took drag classes and he got this job just so that he could roast him in front of all his friends like that. Because he worked for him at one point and he was a dick to him about a salad or something. So
I'm enjoying sketch, you just cracking also- up thinking of these things.
But I guess the most famous thing about the John Mulaney episodes are those musical things that he does, right?
Okay. I feel like he did some sort of
like
sketch with
the Diner Lobster.
Oh, that's probably what I'm thinking of. Okay.
Diner Lobster, and then there's Airport Sushi, and then there's, which is my favorite, Bodega Bathroom. Oh. And it always starts with Pete Davidson and Chris Redd, and Pete Davidson's, like, ordering something very inappropriate from, and so in a Bodega Bathroom, he's like, and do you have a key to the bathroom? And John, and everyone's like, what? And Chris Redd's like, you're going to use a bathroom in a bodega? And does this make any
no,
sense to you?
No.
Like, do you know what a bodega is?
You've told me. It's like a corner store, sort of.
It's like where Usnavi works in the Heights. And then John Mulaney's like, well, here's the key to the bathroom, and the key is attached to a big cinder block. Is that a thing, too? Or like, if you go to Dunkin' Donuts, they'll hand you a key, but it's attached to
I've heard of this,
so
but I sit in the suburbs. I live in the suburbs, so it's not like a thing.
God. Oh, I mean, I'll never see a bodega again for the rest of my
life.
Right,
yeah. I mean, it's not my neighborhood thing, right. But yes, I know what one is. Sure.
Yeah. And then my last one I'm going to say with John Mulaney is the sketch called What's My Name? And Bill Hader comes in just as a guest to be the host. Okay. And the concept is that Bill Hader is like throws up a name on the or a picture on the screen for the first round. And he's like, all right, what's this person's name? And Cecily is like, oh, I actually do know this. It's Little Nas. And he's like, great, you get $5. All right, round two. And then like John Mulaney's best friend's girlfriend of 11 years will come out and he'll be like, all right,
oh,
for
$1 million, this one, yeah.
What's her name? What's her name?
Yeah.
It's like, he can't do it. And she's like, but Little Nas, you knew.
It's that's so true.
Sketch. So look, and Bill Hader is like killing that sketch.
You're
too.
A huge Hader fan. See, even just you talking like this,
I am.
You are way more into the more recent stuff than I am.
Let me ask you this: do you find Bill Murray funny? Because I don't know.
Or
Dan Aykroyd.
I do, but not everything. And I do get that it's not really my humor, but I get it. Like, I can appreciate it.
But is it humor?
There are certain things that are funny, yes.
It's just all straight.
Like,
men.
Caddyshack
men,
is
not
my
gay.
Go-to. Like, Dave loves that movie, and I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. We have very different senses of humor.
I mean, I guess it's cool that, like, there's people out there who genuinely find other
I'll
things
I'll put it
funny.
This way. It's more...
It doesn't mean that I'm
they're
right.
More nostalgic for me. And so that's why I would like them and respect them. Oh, just like I drove you by the Belushi's house where the Belushi's grew up when you came to visit me.
Right.
Which is a couple blocks from where I live. We drive by. I'm like...
And we both agree that Jim Belushi's the funnier one.
Yeah. Okay. So we drive by. I'm like, oh, but they built a second story. Like it was originally a little ranch rambler. So it looks totally different. Then we drive by and down the block just later on. You're like, yeah, you know what? I actually never thought the Belushi's were really that funny or anything. I was like, well, oh. So much for
I'm
that.
I'm sorry to offend the house that's near your house. But I don't get why John Belushi is considered to be this fucking legend. I'm sure that like if I saw him live, I'd be like, oh, this guy's crazy. But I think that Chris Farley is funnier than him by leaps and bounds.
But of the time, this was kind of the new wave
of
okay
time,
all right okay let's move forward here. I'm going to give you a couple.
SNL started 6 years before I was born. It's not like it's like the Depression era.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. Okay, I'm going to make it right. I mean, here's a good little segue here, then we'll move on. Just a little moment, everyone take a deep breath for a deep thoughts.
Early 90s
ones, huh? Lori got offended that I used the word puke, but to me, that's what her dinner tasted like.
That's funny.
I actually did like
come
the
on.
Those are good.
Lori was offended I used the word puke, but to me, that was just what her dinner tasted like. That's funny.
That is funny. And that was kind of back in the 90s where there would be people like Al Franken and Jack Handy, and then they'd have like the ambiguously gay
duo. I wrote that down.
Where,
absolutely.
TV Funhouse, where it would be... Do you know that the voices there are maybe not Steve Carell, but it's a...
There were the
face?
Two writers.
With the glasses.
With the glasses.
Stephen Colbert is one of them.
Oh, yeah, was it Ace and Gary?
It might be Steve Carell, too. Ace and Gary, yeah. Actually, hang on. Keep talking
okay.
about talk
all right,
about
no, I'm
going
to keep moving forward here. I'll get a little bit more current. Now, of course, we had Coffee Talk with Linda Richman, right?
Oh, I got a little bit clump.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that...
I mean, that's
yes.
really the original oh, Joy Behar, right?
Talk amongst
is this
yourselves.
Is this the one with...
The Brady Bunch.
Is this
with
the one
Brady
with
Roseanne
Bunch. And Madonna?
Yes, they were on there, and she would always talk about Barbara Streisand. She'd get a little bit clumped.
Oh, of course. This was in that video
oh,
I had.
I'm
this
sure.
was the episode. And it was Stephen Colbert and Steve Carell
oh,
were the voices
wow.
of Ace and Gary. So it was part of the Dana Carvey show.
Sure.
And then that got canceled, so they moved it to SNL. That's sure. cool.
Okay, what about, That's do you know Simon, the little boy in the tub who was playing?
Well, you know, my name is Simon.
And I love to do drawings. Are you looking at my bum? Are you looking at my bum, you bum looker?
Dude, like, Mike Myers apparently is a
Don't
lot.
Tell me.
Like, he's not the most enjoyable to, like, I think Dana Carvey didn't really enjoy his experience on Wayne's World. But
he's talented.
Every Mike Myers thing is solid. I mean, he's, every single one of his characters is awesome.
Okay.
Hilarious.
What about,
do you know, how about the one where he's on the playground with Nicole
I was just going to play that for you.
He's like the spazzy kid. Oh my God,
Philip,
yes.
The hyper hypo. This was another sketch. I mean, I was, my milkshake was bringing all the boys to the yard when I would do my Philip the hyper hypo. Because, of course, I acted it out at high school.
You're Maya.
Oh, yeah, Maya.
You're Maya from Pen 15.
Oh, like, I can do the run so good. I'll try to do it later, and I'll tape myself and send it to you.
Hang on, before you play, I so specifically remember when he's, like, really spazzing out at the end. The whole playground is moving.
Yeah, I was like, I remember at the end of every sketch, it would just be him running down a street in New York with it behind him, right? He'd be, like, running down. Okay.
Yeah.
Philip the Hyper Hypo, which, by the way, could never be on the air now.
Oh,
never.
Can you imagine if you said hyper hypo about a child? Never. About my child.
Hi. Hi. What's your name?
Grace.
My name is Philip. How come you don't wear a harness?
My mom doesn't believe in it. She thinks it's cruel.
My mom thinks it's very necessary.
Oh,
I'm hypoglycemic and hyperactive. I'm a hyper hypo. That's why I wear a helmet. My mother's a little overprotective.
Well, why don't you try and get out of it?
Okay.
Okay, and then would you like run and get caught up in the air?
Okay, so I have a couple things to point out about that sketch. First of all, like, I didn't know who Nicole Kidman was at all when I had that videotape. I just knew she was like some beautiful Australian lady. Here's another reason why she's good in that sketch, because they let her keep her fucking regular accent. Because I just don't think there's any actress out there who has a more distracting American or this fucking German accent or Russian accent she's doing.
That's why I had to stop. Which I stopped them. I can't do this.
Yeah.
Nope.
Like, I can't. Can we just all agree as a society to let Nicole Kidman just be Australian in every in everything? It would be fine.
Agreed.
It would be totally fine. Okay. But yeah, that's... I mean, God, Mike Myers, why are you...
Why don't you wear a helmet?
Difficult to
just the way he says helmet.
Wear a helmet? Which is how kids talk. Do you know? All right, let's see here. I wrote Bill Hader anything.
Okay. What a...
But Vinny DeVici, do you know that? Where he's like the Italian guy and he like interviews.
I don't really like those. I'm not into that.
I do. Yeah. Okay, I love anything Bill Hader does except for Step One.
Remember when you were with the Beatles? That was awesome.
Oh,
Chris Farley. That was a great
one. That's what they chose to play at his memorial.
Well, you know what? Because
or like that's the clip.
Who's your guy who plays Better Call Saul?
Bob Odenkirk, he wrote
it.
Yeah.
And Lorne Michaels, when I was looking up clips, I was going to play a clip from that, but it's really hard because the audience is just clapping and screaming during the whole thing, so it's funny.
And we can all...
Oh, yeah, you can remember
can
it, but they were saying
play it in
if
our
you
head,
were
yeah.
to say who was Chris Farley, the Chris Farley show, that sketch is exactly who he is. That's how he acts in real life. That's how he was around famous people. He would get tongue-tied.
Like, idiot!
He wouldn't be able to contain himself. He'd become speechless. Like, that is the essence of Chris Farley.
Okay, and don't get mad at me for saying this, but it kind of reminds me of Mike Mitchell.
Oh,
I feel like that's how Mike Mitchell, his personality. But can you not see that, though, a little bit?
No, maybe because I just haven't listened to it enough. I will say, though,
I think you've listened to a lot more than you want to admit.
Van Down by the River wasn't my favorite Chris Farley, only because I feel like they leaned so much into, like, the that guy thing in it that I felt bad for him.
Well, I'd say Chippendales is worse than that.
That though, sketch was really funny, though.
A lot of controversy about, like, yeah, but,
oh,
like,
sure.
a lot
I can,
of people
I get it.
Are very back and forth in it, like... I think it was David Spade or somebody was like, he shouldn't have done that. Like a lot of people were back and forth. But then Mike Myers and Kevin Nealon, who were on like the panel. They're like, it was really funny to watch.
Well, he actually can dance. He could dance and do the moves.
That's the awesome thing about him is that he's like light on his feet. Like I could see him doing like a legit ballet routine and being cool.
Oh, speaking of move. Nick Burns, the computer guy. Classic.
That is a great sketch. See, I feel like people really come down on Jimmy Fallon because he laughed in a lot of sketches and he's kind of like a sellout now and he's, you know, but
that was a great sketch.
He's a good impressionist too. He does a great Jerry Seinfeld.
I can't get this to send my letter to the printer. Press escape. Where's the escape? Move! Like, he had just zero patience, and it was so true.
But that is how those guys are, though. It is how those guys are. They're dicks. But I get it, because, like, in their head, it makes so much sense to
them. Is this not you living with your mom right now? That's how I felt when I was living with my mom. Just everything. Like, just do
I'm Nick Burns.
That's how I was, at least.
I'm Nick Burns.
And I was like, how do you...
I was Nick Burns dropping off my car.
How do I get the remote? I just want to turn the volume up. I'm like, it's on the side. On the side, which one? Just give it to me. Give it. Just give it to me. Just let me do it. I don't want to explain.
Okay, so speaking of... Okay, so let's talk about Jimmy Fallon here. There's a really funny sketch. This one is famous just because everyone breaks character in it. But it's Jeffries, and it's with him and it's with Jimmy Fallon and Sean Hayes, and they're just like folding those clothes.
I'm recalling.
And then Will Ferrell comes in with a little tiny cell phone at one point. But Horatio Sanz comes in at one point, and he's wearing a Looney Tunes like leather jacket, like one of those Looney Tunes jackets with like the leather sleeves, right? And he's like, hey, can you guys help me? And they just, like, look at him, and they're like, killer Looney Tunes.
they're like, sorry,
we don't want to help you. We're going to let you go and hang out in your, I don't know, fucking, you know, Toyota Honda. And he goes, I'm actually going to go and eat the rest of my meatball sub in my Tercel. And then he walks in, and just, they cannot stop laughing. Will Ferrell rolls in with his little tiny cell phone. He's like, hello? And I mean, it's...
Speaking of just the Will Ferrell and cars... I drive a Dodge Stratus, the dysfunctional family dinner.
Oh, okay.
Where you hear just the clinking, fork knives.
That one got a lot of heat, yeah.
Fork knives, and they just be like, oh, how was your day? It was really good.
I hate you! I hate both of you!
I drive a Dodge Stratus. Okay, here's a classic.
Also, wait, hold on, Will Ferrell and Cars, how about Goulet. When he's Robert Goulet and he's in that... convertible.
Oh, okay. I do know what you're talking about. Yes. That was going to be on my algorithm to watch again. Okay, I have a little clip for you. I'm going to argue that this is probably the best almost 2 minutes in SNL history. Okay.
Hey, that reminds me. I have a joke. I heard Michael Jackson went shopping at Kmart because there was a sale. He screwed it up, Dumbo. He went shopping at Kmart because he heard little boys' pants were half off.
Yeah, girls.
Oh, that's right. He's so out of it. He's such a freak. That's not fair. You guys already convicted him. All his charges are based on hearsay and conjecture. It's all circumstantial and anecdotal evidence. What? I'm just telling you what I heard. Do you even know what those words mean?
No.
You guys have been watching too much court TV.
I know. Have you been following the Menendez trial?
Yeah. Do you see their lawyer's hair?
Oh, my God. She's guilty of a bad perm.
Really? I object. I mean, it's like being represented by Sammy Hagar.
Hey, which one of the brothers got his thing cut off?
I think that's the older one. Oh, God, I love these fries.
If you love them so much, why don't you marry them? Can I have some?
Sure, Cindy, go ahead.
Oh, God, these are good.
Cindy, can you leave some for us? I thought you were trying to lose weight.
Lay off, kid. I'm starving.
it's Monday.
Okay, I know that was long.
I didn't know that that was the... I've only ever seen that one...
Oh, my God.
Tail end of that sketch just from clip shows. I've never seen that whole sketch. I was like, I feel like I hear David Spade, and I think I hear Adam Sandler. I did not realize that that was going to turn into that, the Gap Girls
That
sketch.
Was Farley, David Spade, and Adam Sandler. But just think about the timeliness of that. That's still so relevant now. Michael Jackson, the Menendez brothers... And then, God, these fries are
good. Just in general, just a bunch of, these fries are good. Cindy, can you lay some for us?
Lay off me.
I mean, we quote that
at least once a week.
I thought you were on a diet.
Diet Science Monday.
I'm going to blow through a few that, like, I don't love, like, but I know that they are famous. So we already said Vanda by the River. Sarah Palin.
Of course.
Hillary,
all
like,
the presidential,
all the stuff
every
surrounding that.
One.
Have you read Tina Fey's book, Bossy Pants? Okay, because she talks about that in there. Where like everyone's like, you should do it, and she's like, I'm not doing it. But then she kind of would go in her room and like would listen to her, and she's
like, oh my god, I do look like
I mean,
her.
They really. If like just like a screenshot, like a thumbnail, will come up of like an interview with Sarah Palin, it always takes me a second to be like, is that Tina Fey?
Totally,
Sarah Palin. Because I think they're both kind of leaning into, or Sarah Palin's leaning into it for sure. Lazy Sunday, you got to give it, because that was the first real viral
Lazy
video.
Sunday.
Lazy Sunday is what Lazy Scranton is based
on.
Chronic, what? Pulls of Narnia. It. We'll call it Chronic, what? Okay. So all of Lazy
is that
Scranton
also like
based on that.
Dick in a Box.
Yeah, Dick in a Box, which...
I hated that sketch that, what's his name, Timberlake would do, and it was like, coming on down to Snotterville, whatever the hell that was,
that. That's my next one, is Omeletteville. I loved it. I remember I was doing an opera gig in Laughlin, Nevada, and I was stuck in a hotel for like 2 weeks, because every night at 9, we would do our opera show for the people of Laughlin, Nevada.
Culture. Okay.
It was real fun, but Omeletteville, but that, all of like the 5 or 6 cast members were like, there's nothing else to do, but SNL was on the night. We went and we watched, first we watched Kill Bill Volume 1.
Never seen it.
And the two other women in the cast walked out after the first scene because it was too violent. Okay. Woman, and I was like, it's fine, it's Quentin Tarantino, calm down. So then, but I remember us all watching that whole Justin Timberlake episode together, and it's a solid episode.
Same.
I hate Justin Timberlake. I think he's a piece of shit. He's very, very good on SNL. He is very
good. I just don't think
SNL.
He's that funny.
And I hate saying that. I don't like saying it. I don't think he's funny. I think that when he's on, the writers really step it up, and he comes from like a Disney.
Okay. Like I've already had enough of like talking him up. I get it. I get why people like him.
He can do this. But you know who else was really good when she hosted was Britney Spears. She was like great. Yeah. She like did different characters. I remember loving her. Okay, so Omeletteville, fine, fucking another one that Justin Timberlake is in that is my favorite. I think there's 3 versions of the sketch. One with I forget what his name is, but there's one with Jim Carrey, one with Justin Timberlake, and one with some singer, and it's called the Maryville Brothers.
Is this
and it's
like
where,
a barbershop
like,
quartet almost?
It'll
okay.
Yes, and it'll be like like the Tunnel of Love, and it's like 2 people, like Jason Sudeikis and what's her name, the one who left to do the Mulaney show. Fuck.
Don't worry about it.
I want to call her like Padma Lakshmi, but it's not that. Anyway, and they're like going through the Tunnel of Love, and it gets like stuck on like these Maryville brothers, like that are animatronics, but
they get scary.
Pretending to play instruments, and it gets scary. And then Justin Timberlake, like as the animatronic, like kisses her and then marries her, and they carry her off. Everyone, look up Maryville Brothers, Justin Timberlake. I promise you will laugh. I mean, people who understand comedy laugh. I sent it to Jody. She goes, didn't laugh once. That's her favorite thing to text me. After I get really excited about a sketch, I'll be like, this is so funny. I'll send it to Jody, and she goes, didn't laugh
I just
laugh
have
once.
High standards.
Really ruins my day. Oh, do you? Did you see the Hoda, the thing
I
sent you from the
Today
Show?
Yeah, I saw it before. Yeah,
you
I
like
it's
those?
Funny. The Hoda and Kathy Lee stuff, yeah. Funny.
They go through about three Hodas, but that first woman, Michaela Watkins, is the best Hoda. And she also goes on to play Sarah Koenig in that Funny or Die video.
Okay.
Do you remember
that? Kind of.
She's Sarah Koenig, and it's like the last show, and everyone's like, we can't wait to figure out who did it. And she's like, yeah, no, I definitely know who did it. Definitely. And then she's like in the bathroom texting Jay, like, promise you didn't do it. And then the person texts back, sorry, this isn't Jay. This is Jay's friend. He lent me his phone for the day. And she's like, Jay.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
I'm dying up here.
Commercials. I'm going to blow through a couple commercials. Classics here.
Great.
Oops, I crapped my pants. One of the classic commercials. Then they had
Colon Blow.
They had the lover's toilet, where it was a dual toilet.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Back Home Baller. That's kind of like a commercial / video, I guess.
You know, Cole and Chelsea would have the dual toilet.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, my God. I want to look at you all the time.
This one's...
You get my sphincter
this one
so
is
relaxed.
So hard. Gross. Peyton Manning. The Peyton Manning commercial for, like, United Way. It was, like, the little kids playing football. And he, like, pegs the kid with the football. And he's like, come on, sucker, catch it. It was a great one.
It's kind of a famous or talked about thing that the sports guys somehow always have the best. Like, Wayne Gretzky has a very solid. I think that's the other one that's on that tape of mine. He has a solid episode. He's terrible.
Well, Peyton Manning
but
has
the sports guys been somehow
great comedic timing. There's funny.
Right. Like, they somehow, like, they The Rock is another great host.
Okay, what about the...
Like, they get it. They
again, commercial doing. / video. I know we've talked about this one before. St. Joseph's Christmas Mass Spectacular.
Okay, that's on my, like, top five. So let's just break that down now. It's on my top five. And that's literally just because I have a church job.
I have it recorded if you want me to play it, but I don't have to if you don't want.
Please do. I was that was going to be the one I actually played.
Oh, I got it. Please. And if you
please understand how real this is.
Oh,
you
it's
guys.
If you grew. I was going to say Catholic mass. Would that be kind of just a Catholic?
No, this
mass?
Is 100% Catholic. Yeah, because it's forever and ever. That's Catholic.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, a reading from Paul to the Corinthians.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Just play it. This is honestly in my top five.
Church with your parents. And you're in luck, because this year, St. Joseph's Church is going full throttle with our one-night-only Christmas Mass Spectacular. We've got appearances by all your church favorites, like Devin, the newly atheist teen who's making a full...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Not saying the prayers.
Father, forever and ever.
And Mr. Troubler, who's eager to say peace be with you while holding out the sweatiest hand you've ever seen. Still not sold? Well, we got organist Linda Dejo. Watch her take 20 minutes to arrange your sheet music and still start on the wrong chord.
Excuse me, just pull yourself together,
Dejo. Soloist Bethany Oxel, who's up there in the choir trying hard as heck.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Yeah, and don't miss St. Joseph's back-to-back liturgical readers. 12-year-old Ryan Welty, who really doesn't want to be doing this.
And lo, the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary Ann, proclaimed her the good news.
And 44-year-old Colleen Chapin, who really, really does.
A reading from Paul to the Corinthians. Take. Eat.
Looking for even more fun? Check out the sermon, where you'll hear the softest pastor joke, followed by the softest parishioner laugh.
The wise men had to follow the North Star for 3 weeks. And back then, they didn't have MapQuest.
It's rows and rows of little Filipino ladies you've never seen before. But they must live nearby.
This is so true. This is truly true.
Plus, hear all 44 verses of O Come All Ye Faithful. We're not skipping the Latin verses this mass.
Is this song still about Jesus?
And at the end of the service, stay and have your mind blown by watching Pastor Pat walk to his house. It's connected to the church. Try and catch a quick glimpse inside. Whoa, it's just a little table in there. So this Christmas, come to St. Joseph's Christmas.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's all the Filipino ladies thing. I'm like, oh, I thought that was just a my church thing. Where like on Christmas, you do get two or three rows of just Filipino women. And they say they're like, this must be their church because they're here.
But we've never seen them before.
They must live around here because this is their church. But it's all of that is so fucking amazing.
Okay, what about, go ahead.
That was it. I had something. Are we still talking about commercials?
Yeah, I just have three more favorites and then I'm tapped out. Yeah.
Oh, completely. Okay. I have a couple. I've exhausted most of mine. But let me say my commercial and then I'll let you go with yours. This one, I think I always retweet or re-Facebook that mass one every Christmas. And I do this every Christmas as well.
Is it Back Home Baller?
Play it now because I'm in here. Okay. No, I don't know what that is. This is a Macy's commercial.
Have we talked about this? I think we have.
Can you find it? Put SNL boy. Macy's commercial. It won't let me play because I'm in Canada.
I could certainly try. Well, here, I'll tap dance. I'll try to find it while you pull up another one.
Put SNL Macy's commercial. Okay, I'm going to say another one then. Kids clothing commercial. That's what I have. Sweaty Balls.
Sure.
Chippendales. Colonel Angus.
Oh, yeah.
Which people have said that's the best written sketch ever. Okay, you got it here?
No, I have an ad for about another 8 seconds, so go for it.
Gotcha. Great. Colonel Angus. It's good.
Yeah,
it's
I mean...
I don't much care for Colonel Angus.
A little old, but okay,
here we
go. He
stays a little too long.
Macy's for unbeatable deals on a winter wardrobe for the whole family. Men's blazers starting at $49.99. Cashmere tops for her from $79.99. And for your little ones, Macy's has the festive fashions that'll have them saying,
"It's too hot! Itches!"
Tis the season for wrestling your wiggly little monster into thick winter clothes. So all month long, we're taking 25% off boys' merino wool sweaters that won't fit over his head.
If you stopped squirming, it would be on already.
And 40% off cozy corduroys that'll pinch his little nuts.
Dad, can't he just wear his jeans?
You don't wear
jeans to church.
And for your little girl, it's half off all hard, shiny shoes that hurt.
Have to be a woman, Kylie.
And 30% off all holiday rompers. She'll never get off in time.
It's wet! Okay, you have to tell Mommy when you have to go.
The weather outside may be frightful, but in Macy's, we've got kids' jackets so big and thick, they won't fit in their car seat anymore.
You didn't hear that, buddy.
And save an extra 10% on snow boots that are so hard to put on, it'll strain your marriage.
Sorry. You need to put her foot in sideways and twist it.
Well, if you can do it, then do it!
And deals still hot, even frosty.
You need to learn, Nathan!
Daddy's a dumbass.
And deals so hot. Okay, well, if this is going to be your attitude, maybe we should tell my mom we're not coming.
And deals so...
Oh, no! And miss your brother getting drunk and ask him to borrow money? Whatever will I do?
And for your new arrivals, we've got precious winter onesies with so many tiny buttons and snaps, you'll let your baby sit in a loaded diaper for hours just to avoid having to put it back on. Plus, everyday savings on mittens they'll lose, shirts with the wrong frozen princess, sweaters that make them hot, flannels that make them hot, scarves that make them hot.
Good. Where's my kid? Marcus?
And button downs with sharp, scratchy tags in the back that'll have them bitching all season long. Look, we know it's awful for them and for you, but one day they'll be too old to wear cute little clothes like this and you'll miss it. So suck it up and get down to Macy's. The clothes they'll hate.
Daddy's a dumbass.
Daddy's a dumbass.
My favorite, the best part of that, and he has no lines, is where they're like, dressed too tight that you'll let your baby sit in a loaded diaper the entire party. And then it just shows 80 holding a baby with a dirty diaper, and then it focuses in on Bowen Yang behind her, just giving her this like look. Ew. Like,
I thought that was going to be the commercial where the mom just gets a charm bracelet, or she always gets a robe. You know, it's like,
and those are great too. Or like some stupid shit from CBS.
Yeah, they're like, oh, Dad got new tools and Mom got a robe. She just gets a robe every time. Yeah. Okay, so I had Brian Fellow. I'm Brian Fellow.
Oh.
I had a little clip of that, but it goes a little bit long. And then I had a sketch that I don't think a lot of people remember or know about.
Wait,
yeah.
Wait, hold on. What's your favorite Brian Fellow
sketch?
Like, do you have one that comes... Mine is where, like, that parrot is trying to steal my credit.
Oh,
because the parrot talks, and he's like, why is that parrot talking to me? Because the parrot goes, hi, I'm Brian Fellows. And he goes, no, you're not Brian Fellows.
Okay,
I'm
well,
Brian
here,
Fellows.
Now,
you
no, I don't
one?
Have
okay.
that one, but I'll, this one's actually kind of short. Okay.
I bet if this goat could talk, he would say things like curse words and call people doodoo head and sing naughty songs. He's weird.
Well, it's a sheep.
I'm Brian Fellow.
I know.
He just smiled at me. Both smiled at me. Take him away.
He just hates all the animals. It's so funny.
Yeah.
I feel like I have a little Brian Fellow in me here. Okay, so this other sketch I was talking about, every time I hear the name Rick, this sketch... Rick!
Are you watching?
It's
Rick?
Amy Poehler as this character called Caitlin, and it's her stepdad, Rick, who's Horatio Sands, right? And he's just...
Is it? I thought it was Jason Sudeikis.
No,
it didn't. No, it is Horatio
And he's just sitting there, and he's just kind of like... just exhausted, and Caitlin's super is a hyper hypo, if you will, and she talks like this. Rick!
Totally, yep.
Rick, can I go to Spencer's Gifts and get you a mug that says number one stepdad on it, and then on the back of it it says Rick?
I don't know, it just cracked me up every time. Rick. And then I just have a little more.
That sketch always made me uncomfortable because it seemed like her boobs were so pressed down that it made me like.
I taped them down.
I was like, oh God. Like, you, those are really like she is going to have such a like a wonderful moment when they unravel
that. Just be able to breathe.
Like the.
Sure.
Yeah. Just all right. Let him out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So really I have my last one.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot pick an all-time favorite, but this is an old one. It would be in the Weekend Update. It was called David Spade's Hollywood Minute.
Oh, yes. Well, do you know the whole controversy with that, with Eddie Murphy?
Oh, go ahead. Because that
First of all, you need to buy David Spade's audiobook because it is... He spills...
Okay, because that there was a picture of Eddie Murphy. I had a...
A fallen star.
And I had a... I think I had to edit it out because there was so much applause. Your ears would have been blowing right off if I played the clip. But he's like, speaking of falling stars, and it was a picture of Eddie Murphy.
Is this the one where he has the puppet? And he goes like, oh, was that joke still under construction?
No,
buddy?
But he says right after that, and he's
that's a good one.
Like, you know, sometimes there's good eggs and bad eggs, or like, I didn't write the joke, or something like that. You know, he'd always kind of say those things. Okay. So here's a great one. And again, this was 1992 or 3. So here we are. How many years later? Oh, your landline is ringing. Speaking of 1992, 93,
Right?
All right. The timeliness of this clip, just take it all in. And again, I had to edit a little bit of this out.
Heather Locklear will star in an NBC TV movie about a woman with 20 personalities, which are linked by one common trait. They all can't act. Before he collapsed on stage, Michael Jackson sold some of his publishing rights for $100 million. Do you have any idea how much $100 million can buy these days? 5 free molestings. That's right. Ooh. Anna Nicole Smith was hospitalized twice this year. Her people said it was for exhaustion. For once, I believe him. If I had to lug these two giant sandbags around all day, I'd be exhausted too. I heard she had a second spine put in. The woman who shot Selena was the president of her fan club. This kind of thing makes you stop and think. Why can't Michael Bolton's fan club show some initiative? And finally, Andrew McCarthy and Ally Sheedy are still vacationing off the face of the earth. And that's a Hollywood Minute.
I mean, come on.
I mean, it's funny. I mean, it's a roast.
You could
it's
never do some of these jokes now, but yeah.
It's not his fault. They're all dead now.
Yeah, it was a weekly roast. Like, I remember he did one for Billy Ray Cyrus. It was like a lineup of Billy Ray Cyrus. I don't know, a couple other famous people. And he's like, oh, step forward if you're going to be famous in 30 years. Not so fast, Billy Ray Cyrus.
No, not so fast. Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing with Eddie Murphy is that it was one, I think it was the falling star thing, but also that when he has the puppet, he comes back with the puppet, I think, when he's hosting. I think, I just have so many random things on, like, VHS tape, but, okay, so the Eddie Murphy thing happened, the joke was, look at that, a falling star, and it's just a picture of Eddie Murphy, which, like, calm
it wasn't that bad, I edited it out here just because it was nothing.
Yeah, just because people freaked out. But, so, I mean, honestly, everyone should listen to David Spade's book. Stuff like his, like, he almost got murdered one night, like, by his security guard. Like, he's just, I mean, his maid stole, like, $100,000 from him. And then he was, like, part of, like, an FBI coup to, like, figure out this, maid stealing money ring. It's crazy. Anyway, and then he told this other crazy story that I'm sure I've said before, but where Jeff Daniels had to get a prosthetic made of his face, like the mask, and they accidentally put glue on his face instead of clay, and they had to like call in like a plastic surgeon, and at one point Jeff Daniels like wrote on paper, "I'm going to throw up," and they're like, "You can't throw up, or else you'll die."
Oh my god!
Because it has nowhere to go. Yeah, it's like the worst story ever. Anyway, all that said, so he said a falling star, right? Next day he walks in and they're like, "David," one of the pages, "David, Eddie Murphy's on the phone," and he's like, "I don't want to fucking talk to him." So Eddie Murphy pretty much chased him around for like the whole day, and he's like, "Hey, what's up?" And Eddie Murphy's like, "What the fuck is this? What the fuck?" And he like, it was a whole like 20-year-long feud between him, and he would never go back to SNL. And Lauren's supposed to protect. I saved that show. Yes, you did save that show, but also like, calm down, get some sense.
Yeah,
of humor about
yourself, it wasn't that big of a joke even.
It was. It could have been so much worse. I can see being offended by like millions of other jokes.
I'll tell you what the lead-in was. The joke right before that was about the movie Powder, and he's like, "Oh, it's a movie about a pale guy who gets people all riled up, and they follow him, and blah, blah, blah. And the name, the original name of the movie, Stipe, in regards to Michael Stipe. And he goes, and speaking of falling stars, and then it's just a picture of Eddie Murphy for like 2 seconds. And the whole audience is like laughing and like, oh, like one of those. And then he immediately went to the Anna Nicole Smith joke. Okay, whatever.
Okay, well, yeah, okay, well, let's have this one queued up, but in the queue, talking about Weekend Update, because we're going to talk about Taryn Killam on Weekend Update. Another thing that I have such passion for, and I sent to Jody, didn't laugh once.
I know what you're going to say.
It's ruining my morning. Taryn Killam. But first, I want to do, okay, I've said a lot of stuff about Fred Armisen because I guess I believe in the Scientologist.
Don't believe it.
But...
Okay, but when he divorced, he does date
when he divorced Elizabeth Moss, they put out all this stuff, just like they did about Nicole Kidman's dad, saying he's in a pedophile ring and he's a sexual freak, he's a deviant, and all this crazy stuff. They took like websites out and all that bizarro. I don't know. I don't believe it.
All right. Well, but okay. So this is my favorite monologue of all time. Have you ever been invited to like an actor friend's like, I'm doing a show in a black box. It's a one person show and it's just one night only. Like, you understand
I'm joking. Yeah, here in the suburbs, actor friends of mine asked me to go to their acting gigs.
You inexplicably took an improv class 2 years ago. God knows what reason. Because you're a psycho. But that's psychotic. That's a psychotic notion to ever like
for material
and paying money for it. Did you get material?
Kind
of,
yeah. I talked about it on Patreon.
Yeah,
I don't.
Oh,
remind me to bring it up on Patreon, just in case.
Gotcha. All right, but the thing here is Fred Armisen's like, I'm doing a one man show, so I'd just like to show it to you guys, and it's just the pretentiousness of it. You'll get it, even though you'll get it.
40 minutes long. Just gonna change my jacket.
So he's like, I'm gonna show you the thing. So he's changing his jacket into the exact same jacket. Right.
Hey, everybody! Look who it is! Funny Freddy! He thinks he's gonna tell jokes for a living.
Hey, Funny Freddy! You're funny, all right? Funny looking!
Growing up on Long Island, no one ever gave me much of a chance of making it in showbiz.
Why do you want to be a comedian, Freddie? Come work with me at the pizza parlor.
Pa was always riding me, working the pizza. And Ma, well, she just wanted me to settle down.
When are you going to find a nice girl, Freddie? What are you waiting for?
The truth was, I don't know what I was waiting for until one day, the phone rang. Ring, ring, ring. You know, the funny thing about a phone call is you never know who it is until you answer it.
So, I mean, you get it. Apparently in dress rehearsal, it was like 4 extra minutes long. Where he was just like, and they're like, you have to cut. Like, we get why it's funny, but you have to cut it because we have to put sketches in. But do you get
that? Oh, yeah, it's just very cliche. Like,
hey, it's funny, Freddy. The thing about Long Island is just like.
dare I say, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Come From Away.
Lin-Manuel Miranda? Come From Away.
Okay.
Yeah, Come From Away is just like kind of a better Laramie Project.
I never saw that. I mean, I know like Laramie Project, but I've never seen it live.
It's a Laramie Project with music and more money. I still love Come From Away. I'll defend it, but I will say that I can see why people don't love it as much as I do. I am Canadian, so
I would say I liked it. I didn't love it.
I can't imagine not crying from beginning to end. Like, I was constantly in a state of crying.
I think it's one that you have to see live, though.
Maybe you don't... I think it's that you don't care about 9/11.
I'm just not a fan, you know?
You don't care.
If I was going to pick a huge tragedy,
everyone get over it.
It wouldn't be my top of the list, you know? I just can't connect.
I mean, I really don't think
about it. It's been 20 years. Get over it.
Yeah, get over it,
you guys, clear,
please. Okay. You don't even know how obsessed we were with 9/11, especially the past week. We're sending each other like, watch this doc. Oh, I can't get it in Canada. Never
we're clearly kidding. We're not at the level of SNL. That was sarcasm. Clearly sarcasm. Don't go and be like, Jody loves 9/11. Okay, so, do you have any other ones?
Oh, I have a thousand other ones, so just stick with it. Eddie Murphy, White People. I didn't watch during that whole era, but I know that it is a funny sketch. Herb Welsh.
Okay, I know that one. Yeah, he's like hitting the microphone all the time, right?
Yeah, and it is funny. I mean, Bill Hader commits to shit. All right. Will Ferrell, Kate McKinnon restaurant commercial. You know this reference?
And it's based on they have to keep restarting it. I think you sent this to me.
He has to say like on a crispy, flaky. I'm sure you were like,
I remember it.
Crispy, flaky bun. Yeah, no, that one's funny. I'm not going to play it, but like, guys, check out like Will Ferrell, Kate McKinnon restaurant commercial, but then also look up the original commercial because they dress them up in the exact same costumes and they're heightening it. But Will Ferrell and Kate McKinnon together is just, it's perfection. I think we need to talk about Jeopardy. What's your favorite Jeopardy? Mine is with Turd Ferguson. It's a funny hat. It's a big hat. You see?
I'm not a huge Jeopardy fan. Ferguson. I know you're going to hate me for that, but...
Okay. SNL Jeopardy? Like, you don't like that? Okay, I'm down to, like, the last couple here. Wayne's World with Errol Smith is a classic, but we don't need to talk about that.
Yeah, of course. No, that's my era. No, that is my era.
Right, yeah, exactly. Anything with Anna and Will, and I guess Aaron Will singing, like, the singing couple.
Or the hot tub with Rachel Dratch. My lover.
Yeah, that one annoys me, though. I also don't like her and Jimmy Fallon.
You are Denise and Sully. No, you are. And then they make out.
But yeah, I don't think I got, as a Calgarian, I didn't really get it. But now that I know, like, the Boston culture, I'm like, okay, I can see why that's funny. Black Jeopardy with Tom Hanks is, I think, one of the strongest sketches ever written. Do you get that one? Do you know Black Jeopardy?
Remind me.
They always have, like, two Keenan hosts. He's, I think, Steve Harvey. Or he might just be Keenan. I feel like he's always kind of Steve Harvey. And then they'll have two black contestants, and then they'll have, like, just a third person on rotation that just doesn't get what's going on. So, like, we've all established this at this point. But now Tom Hanks is hosting, and he goes on as a, like, Deep South Trumper wearing, like, a Make America Great Again hat. And all of his answers align with the black contestants.
All right, I'll go back and watch
it. He's like, I'm not giving my fingerprint. That's how they get you. And they're like, well, and he goes, if I can go to church, if I can eat and also praise Jesus, that's good for me. And like, it's just, they're like, wow. And one of the questions was, what a skinny girl can do for you. And Tom Hanks rings in as, not a damn thing.
Okay.
It's like, my wife is a thick woman, and that's what I like. And everyone's like, Doug.
All right.
Watch that. It's like a perfect, because you kind of know what's going to happen with the Black Jeopardy, that the third contestant is going to be like, not going to get it because they're white. But it's an interesting representation of how similar the views kind of are. Okay. These ones you're going to fucking hate, but they are the two arguably most funny sketches written in the past 20 years, and it's Kevin Roberts and David S. Pumpkins. Again, didn't laugh once, Jody says, after I sent her David Pumpkins. How do you not laugh after that?
Because it wasn't that funny.
It's so silly. It's silly. It's like insane.
Just not my humor.
And Kevin Roberts is the other iteration of that with Larry David, where he's like, can a bitch get a donut? Did you watch that?
Yeah, just not my humor.
I'm sure you didn't. Yeah. Didn't laugh once.
Like, if I start watching a sketch and I'm not laughing within the first couple lines, I'm jumping ahead 30. So some of these, I recall them, but I don't remember everything of it.
All right, well, I'm in my top five here. So here we go. Cowbell.
Sure. I think it's overrated. I think it's a little overrated.
Jody says, sure.
It's a little overrated. I think there are other ones that we've mentioned that are funnier.
Bill Hader, The Puppets, with the puppet. Where's puppet class?
I remember it. I mean, it was funny.
Okay. It's like usually ranked in like one of the best sketches ever written. Okay. I think RuPaul, the library sketch, is amazing, and I'm very proud of RuPaul for being so
funny. Remind me of the library, because this is coming to me. I feel like I can see this set.
I can actually find it, and he's so, I mean, I always get nervous. I think any RuPaul, like, fan gets nervous when he does have scripted dialogue, especially when it's live, because he famously just doesn't memorize lines very well and okay. needs. But he fucking killed it, RuPaul. So he's in a library and he's reading to the kids, but obviously he's reading the books instead of reading the books. And of course I can't pull it up because I'm in Canada, so you can all just imagine how funny it is. But he's just like, he'll pull up a book and be like, Harriet the Spy. Girl, no, put those pants away. And it's just like, he's not reading the books, he's like reading the books, like a drag queen would read, like right. I'm reading you.
No, I got it.
Yeah. Do ya? Okay. I have three left. I think that this is like it's a depressing sketch to watch. And every time I watch it, it hurts me. But it's right after Trump was elected. And it was that, and Dave Chappelle was hosting. And they did that election night sketch where it's Dave Chappelle and then like just a bunch of white people. And they're like, yeah, we're going to win to the Mexicans. And then it's like 10 minutes later and it's like, well, she's going to get Alaska. they're like, I think America might be racist. And Chris Rock comes in. Do you not remember,
this? That one?
It was it was the same episode as Kate McKinnon playing the
Wait, piano. Was that right after the election?
It was like a couple this is going to
really bring it down. But that's when Charlie was in the hospital. That's why. So I wouldn't have seen that one.
Okay,
but I'm gonna look at, just got I remember message. So that would have been November.
Just put in election night Dave Chappelle. Okay, here's my last two.
Okay.
One of them I think is the best female performance of all time, and the second one is something I'd recommend if anyone's ever in a bad mood to watch it. The best female performance ever is Gilda Radner doing Judy Miller.
Okay.
She broke a rib. She broke a rib during that sketch.
All right. I don't recall that. No, but I'm definitely going to look it up.
Oh, look it up. You will be impressed. It's just her being a little girl that just came home from Girl Scouts. And she's like putting on a show in her room. And it's just the most real little girl thing you'll ever see.
I mean, remember. Okay. Just watch it. I didn't know about the rib thing, though.
But at one point, she's like throwing herself into a door. And she like breaks a rib during the episode. And I can't believe that you didn't bring this up. But we send it to each other all the time. And it's the funniest sketch ever. And it's a Debbie Downer.
I thought we kind of discussed Debbie Downer a little bit. But yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't discuss it. I think that's the funniest SNL sketch. Like, I think that's a guaranteed
laugh. Was that the one when Lindsay Lohan in it?
Yes. And Lindsay Lohan's funny in it,
although she kind of starts breaking. Because there's points where
it'll zoom in on her face and she's laughing, but then she makes like an angry face. She's like really trying to be. She goes, you are totally ruined my trip to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Just Jimmy Fallon and her. And then at the very end, she's like,
speaking of bad days, my doctor just said I can't have children. I was like,
No, it's speaking of, and she looks at Jimmy and like as if she's crying, she goes, it's official. Right. And he knows exactly what she's going to say. So he just shakes his head and she's like, I can't have children. Womp, womp.
She's such a good sport. I love her on Billy on the Street, by the way. Yeah, she goes out all the time.
She doesn't look like... I don't look like
her. No, you don't. I would know. I don't... Honest to God, I don't think you look like her.
I'm gone now.
Okay, so should we jump on over to MTV now? Yeah. We're going to switch networks here.
Yeah, live from...
An hour and 35 minutes in, MTV, Young and Pregnant. I think we're going to knock out Young and Pregnant pretty quickly here.
You can... Why don't you just ask me anything you want to know? Because
we didn't really get a whole lot of information, and I do not know these girls. I kind of remember Kayla and who is the other one? Brianna.
Stefan.
Yeah, I kind of remember those two girls, so I guess start with them.
And Brianna's mom is Jessica, who always has cheeks as red as a fire.
Okay, so we have Kayla, and her ex is Stefan, who's not been in her son Isaiah's life. And now she's with this new guy, Luke.
But he's a real looker, though, Jody. He's
got a full pubic beard. She's with this guy, Luke, who I think I might be attracted to.
We like him. You are.
Okay. Trust I thought him. I was, but I wasn't fully committed. And she has a daughter with him? Question mark.
She has a daughter with Luke, and Isaiah, her son, is with Stefan. And Stefan's a huge piece of shit.
Well, this episode, they kind of recap that whole storyline with Stefan.
That's kind of what the first episode is.
But we do see that Stefan's friend came to drop off a gift for Isaiah's third birthday. And then he kind of waits outside.
What Stefan thought, thought it was his fourth birthday.
That's so bad. Yeah, so Caleb goes outside and basically he's like, so why are you not letting Stefan see his son? She's like, right, cool. He hasn't even called in 2 years. And then Luke comes out and this is where I was like, yeah, I think I'm into him. Because he's like, are you talking to my woman? I'm not going to let you talk.
What's up?
That's my son.
Hey, what's up?
If he's got something to say, he can call me.
There's so much controversy online about this. Like, people saying, like, well, it's not his son. Should he say that?
I'm okay, like, relax. It's his son. Listen, if he is willing.
Calm down. You want Stefan to come and whisk
and if
Isaiah
he loves
away?
This boy as if it were his son and he's been around for 2 years, yes. That's his dad. Sure. Okay, so then Brianna, she was dating, I forget who that first season. Yes.
Danae.
I do remember that whole thing. So she's got her son, Brayson, who was born without his left arm, I believe.
Yes, and I want to say that when they show the preview of this episode, the thumbnail is him naked sitting on a toilet, and it's zoom. It's like him potty training. And it's zoom. It's the thumbnail is literally zoomed in on his nubby arm.
Come on.
Like, just zoomed right in, which is, I mean, fine, like, whatever.
Well, it should just, like, be normalized. He was but just born make it with a normal thing.
But just, like, but this is the thumbnail for the, like, can somebody maybe do a pass on this?
Toilet. Like, I don't like that whole thing.
Put a picture of, like, Kayla holding Isaiah at his birthday.
Brianna, yeah.
He doesn't need to be a naked Brayson with a close-up of his arm.
I don't like
arm.
That. Don't take pictures of your kids, please, because I'm telling you, in 20 years, when they try to go get a job, their name's going to be Googled, and their potty training pictures are going to pull up. Just think about that, you guys. Okay, so anyway.
Right,
so she is now dating this. Okay, hold on. I guess I should rewind. She had Danae after she had Brayson. Do we know the biological dad at all, really?
Oh, it's kind of ambiguous, because that was kind of the storyline last episode. Like, she thought she knew who it was, but then another guy was like, I think it actually might be mine.
Okay, because somewhere in this mix,
and then I don't remember the results.
She had a boyfriend and a girlfriend who may or may not be trans.
No, she never had a boyfriend.
There was a guy. She slept with a guy.
Danae? Not after Brayson, I don't think. I think she's only been with, like, when, like, people who were born female, but Danae, so she had sex with some guy, had Brayson, got back together with Danae, and Danae was like, I want to help you raise this baby. And then, of course, they got into a huge fight, and then Brianna took the baby away from Danae. I think her and Danae are probably gonna
who's
get
the new
or something like that. Danae is now
a partner.
That I don't think that that's, like, a sexual thing. I think that's just genuinely, like, a friend that she's hanging out with a lot. Or did you have, like, a sexual?
I assume they were a couple, because I thought they were dating. Then she they were on a break, and then she slept with a guy, and then now they're trying to get back together. Is what I took it as.
And then last season she had this, like, blonde girlfriend. I'm not 100% sure of if they were living as trans or not, but she did have a girlfriend that lived with them all of last season, but then that person was kind of trash, so she got rid of them too. She's kind of going through
it's kind of like you and Daphne, where she's like, Mom, get off my back, we live together, but I need my space.
Yeah, but Daphne's also, like, a responsible person, and Jessica's
sucks.
Yeah, she's a loser.
Well,
Sorry.
Okay. I didn't think she seemed that bad. But again, this is one episode. I remember the original episode.
You don't know all the history.
Well, when she was like, if you want.
Like, I think she kind of has to constantly move state to state because, like, I think the government's chasing her for, like, not wire fraud, but, like, credit card fraud or just, like,
never
paying for anything type thing. So she's constantly moving.
Well, I do think she had a point when she said, well, if you want me to treat you like an adult, then you have to treat me how an adult would treat an adult. Like, you can't be talking like a little brat.
You're stupid.
Exactly. And throwing a temper tantrum. Right. And then you want me to treat you like an adult. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. So I'm kind of with the mom, at least for now. But we'll see how the season plays out once I get to know her better. Okay. Then there's this new girl, I think, Rachel. Or do you know Rachel already?
No, she was put in last season. That's the Beaver family. Their last name is Beaver.
Oh, awesome. Oh, yeah, well, that's a great disaster. Name. Hazley Beaver. No.
Hazley Beaver.
That's
Hazley.
What it looks like, but she says Hazley, almost like it's Haze.
Yeah, I know.
Lee. But that's how I was like, oh, Hazley. That's a weird name. And then she kept saying Hazley.
Yeah, Hazley Beaver. It's the Beaver family. It's a, yeah, they're just, this is an example where I feel like they're being exploited like a bit, because they're so,
they're rough.
Like, they're in such kind of a state of disarray. It's not cute. Yeah, I'm like, why am I watching this? And why is MTV encouraging this behavior?
It seems like this is a lot like Jade and Christy.
Okay, yes, but it's way worse though, because it's just they're even busted. More like not good with money, and like even, you know, Christy, I don't know, Stephanie, her mom has kind of come back from, like, she's sober-ish now, I think, and she kind of has her shit back. Well, but it's very, I think it's too dark for the franchise,
too blue for her eyes too.
By the way, ratings low last Tuesday. Ratings.
I was gonna
low.
Say watching this, I was like, I don't get everyone loving this show.
Oh, but Teen Mom OG as well had a
well that well. I also can understand. All right, there's some girl with a K name. I don't know. Oh, maybe Fiona. She was the one that I was thinking. Her ex, and her girlfriend look exactly alike. That's who I'm thinking. She has a girlfriend that's trans, okay. Right? That's who
right.
I'm thinking of.
Taisha? No, she's not trans. She
okay,
just,
I don't
I
know. I don't
a,
know. Please don't come after
lesbian?
Me. I'm trying to be respectful.
No,
okay.
It's fine. No, I'm just telling you. No, I mean, Tiana refers to her. As
oh, okay.
Girlfriend.
Okay.
Her, she,
okay.
So.
I'm learning.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to offend
it's
anyone.
Very But yeah, that's she's just kind of a mess, and she kind of probably just needs to be on some kind of.
I was gonna say like
Xanax
a stabilizer,
she gets very
right?
Heated. A stabilizer.
Okay,
yes.
Madison is the other one. She's the one who lives
the one.
In this super depressing house. It's just brown paneling and this orange carpet that's got to be 50 years old. It's just like really depressing and. Mm-hmm. I don't know. My nasal cavity is already filling up with allergens. It's just very dank
well,
and sad.
Her boyfriend's
oh.
killing it.
Okay. Her boyfriend, Christian, has Javi lips. He's got fish lips McGee-ish.
I didn't get a good look at
him. Well, you wouldn't because
him.
It's covered in
but
beard,
you know,
but
think,
look next time.
I think if all women, like most women, like a good sample size of women in a relationship got together and we could press a button and delete something out of the world, it would
oh,
be video
right.
Games.
Well, he got mad.
I mean, Dave probably, I feel like Dave
not
doesn't
anymore,
play,
no.
But like, I just don't, like, that's, it's like literally, it's such an addiction.
And it's such
so
a turn off for most women.
I mean, and I kind of don't mind playing video games. I like playing Mario Kart
well,
once a
yeah,
year.
Yeah, I suck at it, but I would get that, like a fun little game or whatever.
But, like, these guys, I mean, it's just, it really is, like, I feel like in 20 years, when people become even more annoyingly woke, they're gonna have, like, some video game, like, thing, where it's like, oh, it's an addiction.
Oh,
like,
sure.
You need to, like, people are going away
oh,
for their
yeah.
addiction.
Oh, yeah, a rehab?
Because it is, it take like, look at, like, Jade and Sean, or John, Sean, yeah. He's playing
Dave
video
play
games
video
all the time.
Games when we met. It wasn't, like, an addiction or anything, but I remember he had... It was like the first Xbox sort of thing. And I came home and he had on some sort of, at the time, it was like a primitive headset. You know, it's like as big as ours are now.
Uh-huh.
And I swear, he swears he didn't say this, but I came up the stairs and I heard him say something like, nice move, Darkwing. And I remember, I walked in and I was like, ugh, that is so disgusting. Like, I never, I did,
your
I said, I'm like, I never
just, like, turned into
couldn't look
rock.
At you the same way after that. And since then, he's laid off.
And Darkwing was probably like a 13-year-old
That's what I said. I'm like, you
boy.
Understand you could be a complete pervert right now. This is great. He's like, I never said that. I'm like, right. I just thought up Darkwing I pulled that out of
I
my ass.
I made that up.
God. Yeah, that was basically it, right? I mean, it was kind of just laying the foundation.
Yeah,
all right, let's get through some Teen Mom. Let's start with Kate and Tyler.
We got 20 minutes. Let's
yeah.
We can take our time
yeah.
a little bit. That's what
I mean,
we have for the rest of the time.
We're going to be so. Spending about 15 out of 20 on Amber. All right. Kate and Tyler.
Oh,
they found out they're pregnant again. So, of course, Kirthy is like, you guys, what do parents do when a baby sleeps in their room? Like, how do you do it? Oh, my God. And they're like, you just have sex, Kirthy. Can we just get rid of Kirthy, too?
Can you not just smell Kirthy? Like,
patchouli.
What's it called? Not patchouli. I almost said tabbouli.
Well, I was going to say, I can smell like last night's, I don't know, Moroccan dinner on her. And she probably brings her, her leftovers with her. And she's like, I'll just heat it up at Kate and Tyler's house. She's totally that type.
Yeah, so the whole house smells Kirthy. Like just like a break room. And her hair just, I feel, is just dusty. Ugh,
yes.
Like, it's just not, it's...
Again, like, she takes like one of those deodorant crystals and she also uses it in her hair, sort of a thing.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's using St. Ives natural deodorant.
Do they even make that? Really?
I've seen it at, like, Whole Foods.
St. Ives is stepping up their game. Okay, so Kate goes to her sonogram appointment, and she's also going to do this little blood test, and they're going to send the results to Kirthy to find out if it's a boy or girl. But, I mean, it really doesn't matter for them, right? I mean, as long as it's a healthy baby.
I feel bad for them. I mean, this sucks. I mean, we all knew, at least, beforehand. Right. Like, we knew a year ago that this was going to be a girl. But I feel bad for both
of them. They obviously want a boy. I get it. I mean, they have two girls. It's not like they're like, oh, shit, let's give it away. Or let's, you know, whatever. Let's do a do-over.
No.
They're going to be happy.
They're happy. They're like, okay, well, here we go. Like, what are we going to do? Oh, we're going to have three girls. Okay.
But I get it.
Of course, like, you were lucky enough to have a boy.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, not many people.
Absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree. So, yeah, that's pretty much how it is. They do this little wind up popper toy, whatever. It was a dud.
Low energy compared to like the other, like every gender reveal just got worse and worse.
Well, by your third, like, I guess we'll you're do like, this. Okay, let's just open up the email. Yeah, like we're good.
And I think they did both deep down know that it was going to be.
Well, you're preparing yourself for it, but
too disappointed. They were like, all right.
I get it. I totally understand for them. I mean, Nova though, with that fruit by the foot. They zoomed in on her and she's like chomping on that thing.
She made eye contact with me in my soul and was like,
I get it though. There is something about fruit by the foot that slaps different. They are so fucking good.
Also, when you think of a foot, it's like this. Oh, you get 3 feet. Not big. But like, what?
Yeah.
Is it 3 feet?
Fruit by the foot is 3 feet.
Oh.
You roll that, and the center of the roll is actually, like, doubled up. It's folded over, so it's, like, a little thick nubbin.
Yeah.
So good. All right, so that's it. Should we go to Macy?
Sure. Jen and Larry really are handling this the right way. Let's double down on what shitty people we are. Just... if you want to get paid, which they do, I mean, they've been fired. We know that they're probably only going to be in the next couple episodes, and they did get fired after the reunion. I don't think we'll ever see Ryan and Mackenzie again.
Oh, darn.
Are we?
I don't know.
But they're interesting. Oh, do you want to watch Macy light up Chattanooga
No, I
again?
Don't.
I'd rather watch Mackenzie and Ryan, like...
Are you going to light up Calgary?
Like, fall on their own swords. With what?
Teal.
What's my call?
You're going to light it up teal. You and Daphne.
Over PCOS?
You're going to bring in international.
This probably means something different here. Oh, God.
I think you should light it up. Light it up amber for plantar fasciitis. Or for costochondritis.
I'll light it up...
Brown.
Ooh, brown for...
I know what you're going to say. I was going to say for hemorrhoid awareness month. I think you should. Light it up brown.
They're coming in. People be like, what's this for?
Hemorrhoid awareness.
But okay, so Jen and Larry, they want to be on the show. They're pissed. I mean, this is their money. They make a shit ton of money. So this is your last chance. You've pretty much been fired. Hey, let's film a whole segment where we're still doubling down on what a shit... person, Macy.
Because one day Bentley's going to see that Ryan is not as bad as he's made out to be.
One day.
He's actually going to find out he's way worse. He's way worse. That there are things he didn't know about his dad when he was a baby. That's going to be exactly what happens. He's gonna be like, oh shit, now I understand why my mom was fighting for me to not see him when he's loaded.
And here, I have a question, because, like, you have kids with phones.
They don't have phones.
How, like, if they wanted to watch Teen Mom, could they?
Well, they don't have phones.
Like, how, I don't know how much...
No.
Well, they don't, okay. How much control do you have, like, could, if they wanted to watch Teen Mom,
yeah,
could they?
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of, I mean, of they can question. Pull it up on their iPad and stuff.
Like, Leah Shirley and Bentley have both...
Oh, I'm sure.
Addie, the twins.
Yes. It's easy.
Leah has a new boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, I know. We talked about this. We'll see. I need to see him with his glasses off.
All right.
All right, so, I mean, basically, Taylor talks to Bentley and is like, I'm man of the house. No one's going to talk to my wife that way. And...
Yeah, I also kind of wonder if that conversation would have happened if the cameras hadn't been there.
I actually do think so. I think, like, Taylor is a good guy. I really wish Macy and Taylor would clean up their fucking house if they're going to have people that are going to be inside their house working. I think it's just rude to have people come into your home. This is their workplace, really.
Absolutely rude.
You know? And to have just fucking shit everywhere. Clean up.
Grace on the Grace Report did this recap, and she's like, yeah, just Taylor to me is just, like, a real person, and then there's Cole, who would perform this entire scene, but if the cameras weren't there, like, it would not happen.
Totally agree. I agree with. Same thing goes for Chelsea. She's not having conversations with her kids like that.
Yeah, but I like Chelsea more than Cole.
He is annoying.
Okay, I'm so glad they're not coming
Let's
back.
Fly
okay, so,
through Cheyenne and Corey.
Done.
She's a spoiled fucking brat. No one has told her that she needs to act like an adult. That's it.
Yeah, no. It's not because you're pregnant. That's not an excuse. It's not an excuse for treating people like garbage. And when you come after my child,
you're not the one carrying a baby in a pandemic. This is so hard. Shut up. I'm pregnant. I don't feel supported. You don't feel supported? Your entire family kisses your ass, throws parties, you go on boats, and you got airplanes flying by, and he's kissing your ass, and every time you meet with your friends, they're like, oh, tell us about your life, Cheyenne. Shut up.
I don't think there's ever an excuse to scream at somebody. There's never...
Fucking brat.
I don't tolerate that. You don't scream. And I just... What it would take for me to scream at somebody. I don't remember the last time I screamed at somebody. Even with bacon fingers,
to be
I never
screaming at your boss, essentially. The producer, they're...
Yeah,
fuck you. I'm not filming.
You.
Fuck you. I'd be like, okay, well, then you're fired. If you're not going to work, you're refusing to work, we are here.
We're here for Corey, to be honest. No one cares about you or your dumb baby. I mean, I guess it's cool that you have a baby.
I would have been like, okay, well, then I guess she just quit. You don't talk to your boss or your coworkers if they're at the same level. Absolutely not.
Right.
I think that's, like, insubordination.
I also don't think this was that big a deal. Like, she wasn't putting Zach in danger. Like, I think the conversation that was probably cut was like, look, we need to de-escalate this. I'm going to, like, please get out. You can go with JC. Like, they obviously knew that the producers were
behind them. Think about whatever.
So she's leaving him in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, no, I didn't think about that at all. Yeah. I was like, oh, whatever.
It's not the middle of the night in the fucking
woods.
You
spoiled
brat.
If you want to drive home, bye. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's just for Zach. It's like, this isn't cute.
It got blown out of proportion. I think he misunderstood. It was a whole thing. But that obviously is very indicative of this is a pattern for her where it's all about her being pregnant. And he's like, hey, it's my first kid too. It really, yes, it's all about you, but, like, not all about you.
But it is... It's kind of nice. Like, wouldn't most people want that? Like, oh, the dad actually cares about hearing the
heartbeat. Yeah, but it's got to be all about her. Whatever. She sucks. Okay,
fine.
Mackenzie.
Or they're not fine. They've broken up and gotten back together like 20 times since they were in high school.
Whatever.
So, I think
Well, at least we didn't have to see our M. Night Shyamalan, so cool. All right, Mackenzie. Mm. She and Josh are just doing amazing in Florida. And then it's basically like her dad's health journey.
Haters gonna hate, but we're doing really good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's being super
And basically it's her dad talking about his diabetes, which I'm like, okay, I'm not here for dad's diabetes journey. I'm not trying to be rude.
I'm
but
also not here for, like, the dad being this much of a martyr, where that every time Mackenzie calls him and says, hey, we're doing great, and he goes, I just feel like a piece of my life is missing. I get it. You're super depressed, but you are the dad, and you're in charge of, like, you don't get to do that. You can do it for, like, a couple months.
It's putting a lot on his kids.
I'm not a parent, but I feel like You can't do that. You can't guilt your kids mm-hmm. into, like, being like, well, you're in Florida and a part of my life is destroyed. You can't, no, you can't do that. You're, and control your own diabetes. Sorry. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it'll just have to be like, we still need our dad. We know you miss her. We miss her too, but we still need you to be our dad. You're our God Christian leader of the family, right? So.
Sure, but like, also, like, yes. And you're an adult. You can manage your food and your pills and your sugar intake as you got it.
Yeah. I'm totally with you here. Right. Okay, I just sent you my notes for Amber and Christina and Gary because I wrote down some dialogue, so have this ready.
Is this it?
Yeah.
This is last.
Our last one, we're done. I mean, this is really...
We got this, Gary.
This is really the cucumbers and peppers of the episode, if you will. Gary. All right, so first we see Gary. We don't even see Amber yet. And I just wrote down Christina's hair because I don't enjoy the darker color. She went, like, real dark on her hair, and I'm like, Christina.
She also, she has epic red face.
Exactly.
As well,
it's so too much. Way too brown much. Hair doesn't work. Oh, my God.
It's humid.
Comedian Norm MacDonald, who is a beloved anchor of Saturday Night Live's popular weekend update, has died. I just got that alert.
What?
Norm MacDonald. We were just talking about SNL weekend update.
What did he die of?
I don't know, but I just got breaking news.
My God, on our SNL episode,
Jody.
He was
61. He'd been battling cancer for several years, but kept his diagnosis private.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I'm going to read this. He was most proud of... this is his spokesperson. He was most proud of his comedy. He never wanted the diagnosis to affect the way an audience or any of his loved ones saw him. Norm was a pure comic. He once wrote that a joke should catch someone by surprise. It should never pander. He certainly never pandered. Norm will be missed terribly. I want to say there might be some problematic things, but I'm just going to say for now because I don't remember for sure, RIP. Well,
As a tribute to Norm MacDonald, I will say that he is my favorite Comedy Central roasts. I don't even know who he's roasting. I think Bob Saget. But his is my favorite Comedy Central roast because he goes up there and he just tells dad jokes for about 15 minutes. And, like, for the first 5 minutes, everyone's like, what is happening? But then the audience starts then they start getting it. Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, everyone check out Norm MacDonald, Bob Saget roast. You will not be, but that sucks. I love Norm MacDonald. I love how much of a kind of a badass he was.
Yeah. You still there? You cut out on me for a minute. Oh, I think that was Norm telling us that he's here with us. I feel Norm.
Like, thank you for that, lady.
In this Chili's
tonight. Thank you for that. For the gentle nudge. All right.
Amber. Okay. And I wrote down that Gary is still wearing his Alaskan Hard Gear t-shirts. He is very into this brand that is carried at Duluth Trading Company. Because I looked into it because I was going to get you a t-shirt.
I'm pretty obsessed with his Instagram because I'm just seeing tomatoes all day. Fresh tomatoes. I'm waking up to fresh tomatoes every day.
There's Gary. Nice cucumbers.
So far.
Speaking of Tanya, get ready, because Amber is getting ready for Easter. She's making Bubbies some dyed eggs, which I'm like, aren't you supposed to do that with the kid? But okay. And...
yeah, and also Bubbies her older brother, and he's married with kids. I'm sure he's like, all right, I have to go down to Amber's
own. Bubbies is James. She calls James Bubby.
But she calls her older brother
Bubby,
too.
Yeah, but she
Bubby
calls her
too.
Son Bubby as well.
Oh, my God.
There's Bubby and there's Booger Butt.
This is so funny.
Duh. All right.
But then there's older, there's Bubby. Okay, whatever. Okay. She's a fucking...
She also says about Leah and Easter that Leah just, you know, she doesn't remember this time that they had together. Yeah, because she was an infant, you asshole. And then this is where she's like, well, I am a mom. I've always been a mom. False. You are...
You've been a birth mother. You've always been a birth mother.
You know, beat a dead horse here.
No.
Now, I would love to know what this joint custody is, because she said, I have joint custody of my son, James, so I see my son every week.
What she means is that we have a custody agreement.
I have, like, they have visitation. Something written.
I have, and I don't have... Custody and Amber Portwood are not synonymous with each other.
Okay.
It's we have a written agreement and I get visitation and she misses 75% of them.
Ring, ring, ring. Ugh.
Hi. I've been getting everything ready for Sunday. I got a basket and some eggs to color some eggs. So I'm ready.
I wish she'd just come around and see Bubs, you know, Mom?
I know. She'll come around.
What she said about me? Mom. It was very hurtful. What she said about me.
I was shocked about how you just gave birth. Nobody's perfect. Yes.
Is that really the line?
Yeah. That's so.
Can you say that in your normal voice so that people understand?
Tanya said, I'm 100% sure this is what she said. I was shocked about how you just gave birth. But nobody's perfect. So Leah must have done or said something after she had James. Because right before that, Amber said, what she said about me was very hurtful. And Tanya's like, yeah, I was shocked about how you had just given birth. I mean, nobody's perfect.
Oh, how you had just given birth at that time. That
so she must have said something real, real hurtful that we don't know about after she had James. Probably like, oh, so she's going to have another baby and she can't even be my mom. Let's just read between the lines here.
Right. So then Amber does this thing with her clapping hands with her one hand. Yeah. Somebody's in her ear and it's not right.
It's going to be okay. I promise. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Da-da-na-na-na. All right. Now, later. Yeah.
I haven't heard back from Gary or Christina about Leah coming over on Easter. And I have a feeling they're keeping
it. And this was when she was on, was this an Instagram live or a Facebook live? Like, what was that?
This is an Instagram live. Oh, I watched the whole thing. Here's a little reenactment. Christina doesn't do anything for Leah. She doesn't care of my daughter. I went to jail. I got depressed, and for years I've been trying, and my daughter hasn't been staying with me for 20 months. When I was in prison, I was told when I got out I would have my family. All the while, I was being cheated on. You're a whore. That's what you are, Christine, is a whore. When you're a whore, you're a whore. When you're a homewrecker, you're a homewrecker. Sorry about it.
She doesn't do anything for my daughter. Dear God.
Well, I mean, if you want any vindication, you can go read all the comments on just anything on Amber's page, right? Or anything on Christina. Gary posted something about tomatoes a couple days ago, and everyone's like, you and Christina are literally God. Jesus.
All right, well, speaking of Christina, she comes home from wherever. She's in her nursing scrubs.
And she's like, I
feel like I need to slap my cheeks right now.
I'm about to cry.
I guess she...
She's like the new, She's the new Chalinsky. Because she's like, well, I'm fine. I mean, I'm not going to engage with the whole thing, but...
Christina, don't take it personally. I mean, it'd be anyone in your shoes. But, you know, just don't take it personally. It's not about you. No, Gary, that's the wrong thing to say in this moment. You say she should not be saying
also,
that.
I 100% believe that Gary...
Ew, him and I wrote down a button shirt McGee. He's wearing this t-shirt with these little button flaps on his shoulder. No, it was bad. And then all of a sudden, at the end, we see their little MTV logo book closing, and it says Amber Portwood going live, and like a little blinking light. They're doing her so dirty. So
she just needs to stay off of social media. I mean, if she can just stay off of social media.
I didn't see Leah on Easter, so I spent it with James and my family. I booked a hotel in downtown Indy for a change in scenery. Cut to her in her bed, blankies up, thinking it was going to lift my spirits. Amber, God.
And it also seems like she's matched her whole costume to the room.
Oh, she absolutely matched her scarf and her lipstick. Everything matches.
Because the room is like lumberjack. It's like Banff. But it's like a black and white plaid, or a red and black plaid. And then there's like white in there. So she's wearing like black and white and a...
Change in scenery. It's like change in TV. In the TV that you're just going to be watching laying in your bed. Good.
This is like me going next door to my neighbor and being like, can I sit in your bed for the
change in scenery. Like, how about you just get up and move to your couch then at the house? Jesus. Okay, so I'm going to be... I mean, I'm going to be producer. You're going to be Amber here. And you're going to start with, this is kind of a vacation for me. And remember, wait, hold on.
It's kind of a vacation.
She's
for
like
me.
Calm. I'm a grown ass woman, Amber. And then she moves into victim, Amber.
See, this is what's happening. This is kind of a vacation for me. A little bit. I feel very stressed right now. A little
yeah,
sad.
Yeah, I mean, this is a cool place. And I would know because I'm wearing a Def Leppard t-shirt. A Pink Floyd t-shirt. And I'm pretty sure she's wearing Amber's hat. Do you remember that hat Amber wears? Pretty sure it's hers. And she's got on lots of fashion rings from Claire's. Yeah, it's a pretty cool place. I mean, it's nice. It could be like a mini, tiny vacation, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Again, can I interject here and say, you need to have a job before having a vacation. You need to have a vacation from something. But fine.
Mm-hmm. So I saw you were on Instagram last night.
Yeah, like I had it up, but like I deleted it. I mean, it was just supposed to be for my fans. I mean, so hopefully just my fans would see it. But shit got blasted everywhere. Gary, if you don't like the truth, fuck it. Sorry.
Have you talked to Gary or Leah since? Yeah, she's like.
So now she has her eyes closed and she's pretending to cry. They haven't been answering any of my phone calls or text messages, so it was ignored, actually.
When was the last time you texted?
Saturday. I wanted to bring James and Leah to go see my mom.
I think it goes to show that you keep reaching out, you're texting, you're calling.
All I do is text Leah all the time, and I never get anything back.
Oh, for days, weeks, months, what?
No, never. No, never. Not anymore. Not anymore at all.
Oh, what do you text her?
I love you. I miss you. I have it. I have it. Oh. So she gets her phone. Love you. No response. Love you, miss you, no response. Love you, baby, no response. Love you, and that was the last one, and I put ... and I haven't seen a fucking thing since.
Yes.
Which is manipulative. These are manipulative tech, especially the ... Love you, ..
And keeping sending it
fuck you.
Is, it's not even passive aggressive, it is manipulative, but also, Leah knows you're texting her just because you want a response for you. You're not sending it because you're sincere. Like, I know she doesn't want to talk to me, but I just want her to know, like, I'm thinking about her. I know she had a big test today. I'm not expecting a response, but Leah knows Amber's expecting a response. So she's like, no, bitch, I'm not sending them.
Leah's
and
smart.
That ...
And you and me both. Zoomed in on when it actually showed her phone. Leah did respond at the very end. So calm down, Amber.
Yep. She wrote, you too. But Amber's hand wasn't covering that portion of it very conveniently.
And and the texts from Amber are like just unhinged. They're like 2:37 in the morning, 6:57 in the morning.
No, there was one. It was like
7:46
at
night.
It was like 7-something at night, which she was probably going to bed, and then it was like 6:15 in the morning. So it was like right when she went to bed, right when she woke up. Lay off.
Right. It's like...
Exactly. So then she shows her phone. So when's the last time you got to talk to her?
Long time. It just makes me more depressed.
Well, you have to just guess what's going on in Leah's head then.
I know what's going on in Leah's head. Other people.
I want to figure out a way that you guys can be close again.
We are close. Okay? There is no relationship with Christina and Gary. He doesn't want to answer the phone. He doesn't want to answer the text. What's influencing her? Do you think that's on her? Why do you think that's why she's not answering me now? I just don't understand why I'm getting treated this way. I'm not going to give up now.
So I wrote that down. I just sent that to Amanda. I probably threw her off. But yeah, she's pretending like she's crying, you know, the fake cry. And she's like, I just don't understand. I'm getting all this now. I'm not going to give up on her now. They totally dubbed that in because I am certain she left that conversation being like, I just don't know what to do anymore. I'm just going to give up. Yeah, fuck that little bitch.
I hate her.
She's turning out just like Christina and Gary, a bunch of assholes over there. And they're like, no, don't do that.
Don't Dun 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 dun. All right. Well, I'm sorry. Jody had a heart out five, no, 6 minutes
ago. I'm gonna go get my hair done and hacked away so I can match you.
Oh, that's your heart out.
Listen,
oh, okay.
This is like a twice a year outing. Match. All right.
Look, I have a little, it's Whitney ponytail back here. Do you see?
You look like little. Whitney. It's so because you're like such a rebel. You're so sexy.
I just put my hair in a little elastic, and that's it.
Oopsies, I dropped the cake. Oops, I dropped the cake again. I dropped it again.
Oopsies, I'm in my bikini.
What's going on?
Oh, boy.
Up? Here, quick.
The boys.
Episode one. Life swap. TRP.
Family therapy last episode. Bachelor in Paradise. Oh, and we've already done our Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. So check that out. And, yeah.
Thank God. Okay, so now the family therapy's over, I'm just happy that all of our stuff is
Cute. Oh,
now.
True.
I'm into everything now, I think. All right, guys, thanks for being patient. I think we're officially caught up as of today. SNL, bitches. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.